is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell today is playing down widespread speculation about a possible change in U.S. policy toward Iran. Outside the State Department earlier today, Powell told reporters U.S. policies toward Iran, quote, have not changed.
We do not approve of their support of terrorist activities. We have made it clear over the years that we disapprove of their efforts to develop a nuclear capability.
Concerns have reportedly been growing within the Bush administration about Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons, as well as its suspected harboring of terrorists. And despite a lack of any real formal diplomatic ties with Iran, Secretary of State Colin Powell said the U.S. will maintain the informal contacts it has with various factions within Iran itself. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, hopes remain high for a meeting of top U.S., Israeli, and Palestinian leaders, as we hear now from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
In another indication that Israel is willing to cooperate on the roadmap to bring peace to the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is saying keeping 3.5 million people under occupation is bad for the Palestinians and bad for the Israelis. But Mr. Sharon promises if the Palestinian terror continues, they will get nothing. The prospects for peace may come down to who is willing to take the first step. For now, the Bush administration is trying to seize the opportunity they think is there, eyeing a summit with Mr. Bush, Mr. Sharon, and Mr. Abbas in Jordan or Egypt after the Group of Eight meetings. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Latest fighting in Iraq this weekend and into today has left two Americans dead and more than a half dozen wounded. Officials say U.S. soldiers were attacked in Fallujah earlier with rocket-propelled grenades and small arms. Initial reports indicate those attackers were firing from a nearby mosque. U.S. Central Command also says coalition forces have now captured numbers 46 and 55 on their list of most wanted former Iraqi leaders. Those captured are former top officials of Iraq's ruling Ba'ath Party. Central Command says the two were detained by troops on Saturday.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
President Bush will sign his Global AIDS Initiative in a White House ceremony later today. That legislation, approved last week overwhelmingly by Congress, earmarks about $15 billion to fight the spread of both HIV and AIDS around the world. In his upcoming trip to Europe next week, the president also plans to lobby American allies to make similar efforts. Most of the U.S. money will go to African nations as well as to countries in the Caribbean. Congressional conservatives were also able to successfully insert abstinence education language into the legislation.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing quick-dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. Allivert is prescription-strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
The nation's high court has now dismissed a challenge to the federal government's policy of holding secret immigration hearings for people detained following the September 11th attacks. The Supreme Court today refused to review a U.S. appeals court ruling. News media and public access to the deportation proceedings could endanger national security. The action from the court was based on an appeal by New Jersey newspapers arguing the government cannot keep those proceedings secret without specific case-by-case evidence showing closing the hearing would be necessary. Civil liberties groups have also widely criticized the Bush administration's tactics surrounding those secret hearings. A search is underway today in Metro Atlanta for a possible serial killer. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says Derek Todd Lee may have been spotted in Atlanta Sunday. Lee, who's from the Baton Rouge area in Louisiana, is charged with the murder and rape of 26-year-old Louisiana State University student Kerry Yoder back in March. DNA evidence reportedly has also tied Lee to four other murders in Louisiana. I'm Corey Morris, and you're listening to IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Peter Werbe here with you. Ben and Jalene Jordan. Have we not broadcast in a while, Jalene?
It's been a few days.
It's been a few days. It seems like, geez, just the longest time. But I'm glad to be back. How was your vacation, your 4 days off?
Wonderful.
Yeah, we too. We too. What does that mean?
We as well.
Yes, we as well. Marilyn and I, we went up to Canada because people are always saying, remember we were saying that? They're always saying, if you don't like this country, why don't you go somewhere else? Well,
yes.
We went to Canada.
You took their advice.
We took their advice. And I don't know how much this will mean to many people, but the highlight was the romance, the togetherness. But other than that, the highlight was that we saw a pair of nesting pileated woodpeckers.
Oh, how wonderful.
And these are some huge babies.
What are they?
They're like 20 inches high.
Really?
Yeah, so there's some big birds, and they're not exactly rare, but they're not common. So
it was a treat.
Yeah. You know how many hunters there are in America? I'm going to make these figures up. Anybody want to give me a more accurate figure? It's around this, though, in both these figures I'm going to give you. And you know how much play the hunters get, and they're always this and that. And I'm not dissing hunting or hunters. If you know, you can if you want, but I'm not going to do it. 1-800-TALK-YES either way on this. But there's about 6 million hunters in this country.
And, oh, 6 million,
yeah,
really?
And all the politicians are always playing to them, and they're always, you know, National Rifle Association. You know how many birders there are in America? About 30 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And nobody says, you know, what about the birders or anything like that? Right, never mind with that. Now, you and I generally agree, but we don't always agree. We had a little bit of a disagreement about something on the Peter Werbe website. That's PeterWerbe.com. And I tell you that because I want to get you, the listener, if you're online, if you're not, you know, if you're just listening on a radio affiliate and you're not hooked into the internet or into the World Wide Web, but, you know, it's okay. I mean, people always kind of say, no, I'm not, you know, like they don't have indoor plumbing, which is okay too.
It is okay. I can imagine if I didn't have a computer. Well, you know what? I don't want to imagine my life without a computer. I use it too much.
Yeah, well, the same with me, but a lot of it is professional, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, personal. Some
majority
personal
of
as well. Yeah. But actually, now that I think of it, as soon as this show is over, I am leaving, flying down to Nashville and going out to friends of mine's farm that does not have indoor plumbing, as a matter of fact.
Really?
That's right.
And so it's
I don't want to talk about it any more than that.
You have a well?
A well?
You get your water from a well?
Oh, the water from a well. I thought you were talking about the other end.
Oh, no. That would be more of an outhouse.
Okay. Yes, it's kind of an outhouse kind of deal. Anyways, the Peter Werbe site, PeterWerbe.com. And, man, we sure got off focus there quickly, didn't we? I have, maybe I can even go to it here. I have a link to some, let me see if what it says. It says, yeah, George and Tony at a gay bar. It's George Bush and Tony Blair at a gay bar. And it's a spoof. It's a video. So if you just have a dial up, it's a little slow to load. And they're singing this song, I Want to Take You to a Gay Bar, right?
Right.
And it's a nutty song to begin with. You didn't even like the music, did you?
No.
I kind of did.
Well, it's just, I don't, it was purely not entertaining for me.
Okay. So my concern wasn't whether you, Jalene Jordan, were entertained by it or
right.
not, but whether or not it actually had a, like, homophobic premise to it.
Well, you know, it kind of, the more I thought about it, maybe that's really what I'm trying to say. It kind of bothered me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal on it. What's the basis of the humor? Because, you know, a lot of these, I've been listening to morning talk shows, and all they do is talk about gays. You're so gay. Oh, that's so gay, you know?
Well, right, yeah.
And it's weird. On one hand, you can say it. You know, before, no one would even say it. But now it's kind of people are more accepting of other people's sexuality. But it kind of comes back as a put-down. So I'm not putting down. I wouldn't put anything on my
right.
site.
No, that, I know that.
Yeah, but I'm wondering how it plays. That's what I'm saying, how people read it. If the basis of the humor is because gay people are odd or weird or bad or evil or sinful, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's, I'm not cool with that at all.
No, we don't, because yeah, this is a gay-friendly show. In fact, we'll prove it. Should we send a big kiss and a smooch out to our gay and lesbian listeners?
Yes,
you ready
sure,
to do it?
On
three,
it.
One,
right.
Two, three.
Oh,
okay.
I did it before you.
That's
sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
Listen, you got to think about it. I live right near South Beach, and so I'm heavily into
Miami,
area,
Miami
right?
Beach.
And the other thing, you know, this weekend I had my friends Steve and Brian over, mm-hmm. and they, you know, so I wonder what they would think about this. I'm going to have to ask them.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, if any of you want to weigh in, you can go to peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E. Go right down below Bush knew about 9/11, and right under that is a picture of George and Tony, and you click on it, and it takes you to
this little song.
Animation. Yeah. So we don't want to have it on if people. And I'm trying to think about it because humor is about ambiguity. Or what, is that even the way? I mean, what makes things funny? I mean, why do you laugh at things? Because things are improbable, right? So this is sort of these kind of, I think of these guys are these uptight warmongers. And instead they're looking at each other and saying, I want to take you to a gay bar, you know?
Yeah,
All right. Couldn't even get a chuckle out of her, folks.
No, it was so non-funny. No.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, even the words to me, and I don't want to bash anyone, but weren't really matching up with the song. I was just like, what, Peter, what are you sending me?
I thought the lip sync was pretty good.
Well, there again, we differed.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's at peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E. And I am trying to look on my, she sends me so many good things. Oh, yeah, Claudia. Claudia sent in this information just as I was getting off my Detroit Sunday night show that Michael Moore's site, michaelmoore.com, had been hacked by one of these right-wing twerps.
No.
Yeah, and that instead of going to Michael's site, which gets millions of hits, these people that believe so much in democracy wanted to make sure that none of us got to see his site, where you can find out about what's happening with Bowling for Columbine and his best-selling book, Stupid White Men. And instead there was this message demanding that he return his Oscar to the Academy because the contention of the right wing is that Bowling for Columbine is fiction and not a documentary. Like, guys, get a life, right?
Please.
Get a life. Anyways, the way to combat all of this, obviously, go to michaelmoore.com, go see the movie, buy Michael's
book.
Yeah, also Chris Hedges, who was booed off the stage for making this wonderful anti-war statement at this conservative college in Illinois. You can go there and you can see the text of his speech. And I want to save the other. There's a third thing in there with right-wing wackos, but I'm going to save that. So anyways, like to hear from you. And one thing, please don't tell either Jalene or me, is because we won't be sympathetic to this. And we're back to talking about this you know, this phony little film with Blair and Bush singing, I want to take you to a gay bar. Don't say, it's just a joke. Because let me read you this from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. More than one-third of gay college students experience harassment in the past year. So it's that bad. Half conceal a sexual orientation to avoid intimidation. So imagine if everybody was out, if everybody was as overt about their sexuality. Here, a third, I'm sure that, let me see, it would go up. It would go up to two-thirds by, if you can extrapolate from the math there, right?
Yeah.
Almost half the gays call their campus homophobic. So
yeah,
the last...
I'm surprised.
Yeah. And there's this group, this Republican group called Concerned Women for America.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Help us all.
They say that the Grand Oil Party, the Greedy Oil Party, is not anti-gay enough. That's their fix on it.
So Oh, these women! I want to go strangle them!
So you see, you know, the basis of popular homophobia gets affirmed by these right-wing Republicans like Senator Rick Santorum.
Yeah. Well, that just is so disheartening. It really is.
What year is this? What century is this, people? Come on.
They're probably sleeping in separate beds like in the 50s, you know.
That's right. Here's Mike in Elmsburg, Washington. Mike, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. This is my first time calling. Sorry if I'm a little nervous.
Oh, it's okay.
I feel your frustrations and all this stuff. I just actually got turned on your show through iTunes on my Mac, and I love it.
Well, thank you.
I was just calling about the Afghan massacre documentary. Have you heard about that?
Actually, tell people. This is the British documentary?
Yeah. I was just watching C-SPAN today, and Ari Fleischer was on, and one of the reporters asked him about it. And as soon as the reporter mentioned it, Ari just said, I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. and was just totally against or didn't even want to talk about it.
Well, you remember the drawing of the three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Well, if you haven't seen it, can't comment on it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, these kind of violations of international law, and well, let me not skip away from that, Mike, so quickly. What this British documentary is about, which I haven't seen, but I've read a lot of descriptions about, was this how our wonderful democratic allies in the Northern Alliance, remember Afghanistan, folks? Yeah. Put all of these prisoners in these shipping containers in the manner that they put, what was that young guy that from America?
John Walker Lynn.
Yeah,
right?
In the same manner, except these people had no air, and there were some charges that they even machine gunned, the Northern Alliance machine gunned these containers, shipping containers filled with Taliban prisoners, and that thousands of Afghanis were killed, and that Americans were there just kind of saying, hey, man, you know, not my deal.
I'm glad there's a documentary coming out. That's wonderful.
Mike, also, I don't think I would go to see it, to tell you the truth. Have you seen it, Mike?
I listened to it on democracynow.org.
Oh, you can actually hear it?
I got to listen to it, but I didn't get to see it. There was no video, just audio.
No.
It's an hour long.
There is also thousands of Iraqi military prisoners being held now in Iraq as we move to the next crisis. We've already forgotten the last one that we were told this was the most important thing in the world. And up to 3,000 Iraqis, some of them civilians, are believed to be gagged, bound, hooded, and beaten at U.S. camps close to the Baghdad airport. This is according to the London Observer, a daily paper in London. And it starts off, the United States is illegally holding thousands of Iraqi prisoners of war and other captives without access to human rights officials at compounds close to the Baghdad airport. International Red Cross has not been allowed in there. There's reports of a mutiny last week by prisoners, and the uprising, quote, was dealt with, according to a U.S. military source. There is circumstantial evidence, I don't know if I want to buy into this right away, although it's consistent with a lot that we've seen, that prisoners are being gagged and hooded. Now, we saw that in the manner that the Afghans and other captives held at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba were treated. As far as I know, this is absolutely illegal to do to prisoners. What could possibly be the reason for blindfolding or hooding a prisoner? Can you imagine the terror that must go into the heart of somebody who simply fought on the other side because he was a soldier in another army?
For his own country's army.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mike, thanks a lot. Hey, don't make this the last time, okay?
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Okay. Uh-huh.
Again.
That's what we say here on the Peter Werby Show.
Uh-huh. Maybe we zoned him out.
Yeah. Thought he'd get to talk.
Yeah, you fool.
Mike, we're sorry.
All right, Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number. And we're back to some more stuff. Take a look at that on my website. Should it stay there? This is at a gay bar. We'll talk more when we come back.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to the Peter Werbe Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome back. Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you.
Well, thank you.
Nobody gives a poop about whether or not we have a link on the Peter Werby page that shows, not shows, that has George W. Bush and Tony Blair singing to each other, "I want to take you to a gay bar."
No one seems to care, huh?
Yeah, I was concerned that it may, you know, that the basis of the humor may be in homophobia, and I sure don't want that. I just thought it was goofy. Jolene did not like it at all. Didn't think it was funny. Oh. Didn't think it was well done.
Yeah. You asked me, and I told you.
And nobody
exactly
cares.
How I felt. Right.
All right. Here's TJ from Texas. TJ, it's Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a comment about what the last caller was talking about, Afghan Massacre, Convoy of Death.
Sure.
The documentary.
Well, what's the name of it? The Highway of Death?
Convoy of Death.
Convoy of Death. Okay. That's, good. That's good to know.
Subtitle. I wanted to mention that I also listened to it on democracynow.org.
Mm-hmm.
It was I had certainly never heard that story before, and I think that's sort of disturbing to me that this documentary has already been seen on European state television in several European countries, that the European Union or the European Parliament, excuse me, had seen previews of it back in 2002, and none of the major networks, not even PBS, is even thinking about showing this.
Of course not, and particularly at a time when the fix is in to give even a further concentration of media ownership, none of them are going to dare cross any line in the sense of offending the Bush gang. So, yeah, so we're going to have to depend. I mean, it's going to really take an effort. It shouldn't have to be an effort for us to be informed people in this society. But it unfortunately does. If I wasn't combing through all these obscure websites, I never would have heard about it either.
I know, and I'm just so angry that it takes so much effort to just get basic news.
Yeah.
That's the key.
So true.
Yeah. Instead of
make sure you go to commondreams.org.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
It's
been there.
I don't think I can grab it right now, but we're talking about this vote that's already a foregone conclusion about the Federal Communication Commission and the concentration of ownership, further concentration of ownership being allowed. I have it Pravda in the making. So, I mean, it all but is now, but it's going to be completely Pravda. The media is going to be what we always call it here, the medium, and it's going to be the unitary voice of power, and those of us who want to think for ourselves and not simply be loyal citizens of the empire, we're going to have to go elsewhere. Thank you, TJ.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK. Yes, here's Kate in Elgin, Illinois. Kate, it's Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan. You're on the air. Hi.
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 I just wanted to make a comment about the gay bar song.
Did you go look at it?
I did go look at it. I turned you off for just a second. Went and took a look at it, and my only complaint about it is it's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's
okay.
Not.
It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
That's it. I didn't find it offensive. I'm,
okay.
You know, I can enjoy, I'm bisexual, I can enjoy a good gay joke, but that wasn't one.
Okay.
It was not good, you're right.
So
but other than that, I love your website. It looks really great now. I don't know what you've done to it, but
God, most people think it's a mess, and someone wrote me, some guy didn't like it, called in and said, "Looks like a teenager made it." I thought, you know, hey, I'll take a compliment wherever I can get it.
I think it looks better than the other one.
Okay.
But right. That's just me.
All right.
But keep up the good work.
Very good.
Thank you, Kate. So you didn't think that
you're
it had...
You're not offended.
You didn't think it had a homophobic premise to it.
No, I just thought it was kind of dumb.
It's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
am, you know, I got to go back to the teenager again, right? Okay. Thank you, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us.
Good. We finally, someone called.
That's yeah. All right. So what we're talking about, if you go to peterwerby.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E, just scroll down a little bit, and it'll say George and Tony at a gay bar. And it's a song. It's lip-synced, and I thought it was really funny. And nobody else
Peter,
does. I'm taking it off. Some other people did.
I know you have a way better sense of humor than I know you do.
I sat people down at my house, and they roared. Men, women.
Well,
so
I
much.
Don't know.
Okay.
What were you guys drinking?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
Yeah. My audience usually says, what are you smoking?
Right. Well,
that night we were drinking. All right. Hey, we're going to talk about what's happening with our meat supply. Not our. Jolene and I don't even eat it, but the Mad Cowboys
sure.
Next. Howard Lyman on the Peter Werby Show.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party.
You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A week-old strike by West Virginia employees of the Adelphia Cable Company could spread, according to the Communications Workers of America. About 40 workers who supply cable services to residents of Morganton, West Virginia, walked off the job May 22nd after rejecting their company's call for a freeze on wage increases. Since then, Adelphia workers in three other locations have authorized possible strikes, including 200 cable technicians in Los Angeles.
An Alaskan jury has found no evidence to justify a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of nearly 5,000 salmon fishermen against fish wholesalers and distributors who stood accused of conspiring to lower salmon prices over the last 10 years. Attorneys for the fishermen say the various processing and distribution companies shared price information, collaborated to drive down prices, and underpaid the fishermen for $1 billion of salmon. But the processors successfully argued that a global decline in salmon demand, coupled with competition from salmon farms, drove down the price. Not all fishermen lost in the case, though. A handful settled their claims before the lawsuit began and collected about $40 million between them.
The Service Employees International Union's Justice for Janitors campaign has scored a lot of victories this year, from securing health coverage for Washington, D.C.'s janitors to winning a nearly 40% wage increase for the workers who clean the office buildings of Los Angeles. But a similar campaign in Denver, Colorado, appears ready to hit a brick wall. The 2,000 janitors with SEIU Local 105 are looking to win health care in a city where 9 out of 10 janitors have no health insurance. But negotiators representing cleaning contractors say they want to end union representation for workers in many of the city's smaller office buildings. That leaves a lot of ground to cover before the union's contract expires on Saturday, though the union has ruled out a strike, at least for now.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Here's Bob in Fargo, Alabama.
How dare you say Jesus was a liberal? Jesus was not a liberal. Jesus was a conservative. Jesus wore a Marine crew cut in a Brooks Brother business suit, and there was a small scroll, and the scroll inside said to worship Wall Street, to worship the money changers represented by elected President George Bush.
Hey, Bob, what do you think about the fact that Jesus was Jewish? I'm sorry.
That's
I'm sorry.
Not true. That's not true. That's not a lie. Get a haircut, son.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. And it's a pleasure to bring back to our microphones one of our favorite guests on the Peter Werby Show, Howard Lyman. Howard Lyman is the Mad Cowboy. That's the name of his famous book, The Mad Cowboy, The Cattle Rancher Who Won't Eat Meat. And Howard Lyman is a fourth-generation family rancher from Montana. He operated a feedlot for 20 years. He sold his ranch and started working for farmers in financial trouble. He's been a lobbyist in Washington. He ran for Congress about 20 years ago. Right now, he's the former director of the Beyond Beef campaign. You may remember, Howard, he and Oprah Winfrey got in trouble with the Texas cattlemen because they said that there was some problem with beef. Howard Lyman, welcome to the Peter Werby Show again.
Oh, Peter, it's a joy to be with you today.
And it turns out there are some problems, although they're telling us, don't worry about that Canadian cow with mad cow disease. It's only one on the entire continent, so I'm going to go have a burger. How about you?
Well, remember that you can tell when they're lying to you, their lips are moving.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know, Peter, this is the same line that has happened country after country. You know, don't worry, it's only one, and now we've seen millions and millions of cattle that have had to been destroyed and incinerated at 1,100 degrees centigrade. The ash is still infectious. You know, 80% of the beef in Canada comes to the United States. If we look at the wild animals, you know, around there in Alberta, they have chronic wasting disease. There's no wild animal that pays any attention to that line drawn on the map.
Sure.
For them to say to the people in the United States, don't worry about it, this is an animal that was 8 years old, that had five calves, that had got the disease, they believe, from the feed that it ate. I think it's really facetious to think that this is the only animal in Canada that got a bad batch of feed that ended up with the disease, that we know that the mother can transfer it to the fetus in the womb, and she had five calves. They don't know where the calves are. When she went into the rendering process, it was months after they removed her head, and it was only accidentally that they actually even tested on it. It wasn't that they thought she had the disease. They tested her because they needed one more to make their quota.
Hmm.
Well, months after she went into the rendering system, now they're out there right now talking about recalling dog food because this cow was ground up into a rendering process that had the potential to infect thousands of animals, and now they're talking about recalling dog food. This is the most ludicrous thing that I've ever seen in my life.
Well, Howard Lyman, you've been predicting for years, and we've talked on my show with when you've been a guest about whether or not there's a way to verify your charges that the American, North American beef cattle stock actually is infected with mad cow disease. I mean, certainly this is, I'm sure you would love to be 100% wrong about this.
Oh, I would love to because, you know, Peter, most of the listeners here right now don't realize the magnitude of what we're talking about. If we take Canada, the day that that one animal was identified with mad cow disease, the export of beef, a billion-dollar industry, ceased overnight. If that happens in the United States, we will end up with our balance of trade payments being severely affected. If you know how robust the economy is right now, you can imagine what it would be like if we would take probably the best export that we have out there and have it evaporate overnight.
Hmm.
This is a crisis not only for the consumer, but can you imagine the thousands and thousands of family farmers and ranchers out there that never did anything wrong, that never fed ground-up animals back to their animals? They're the ones that are going to pay the price.
Tell us a little about this process of animals eating animals. I actually saw that firsthand one time. It's a pretty strange process. I actually saw a friend of mine who was raising pigs, slaughtering them, selling them to a hotel. They would then give him back the scraps, which included some of the uneaten bacon and ham, and so the pigs, the living pigs, would eat that.
Well, if we stop and look at it, let's take a cow, for example. The cow goes to market, weighs 1,000, 1,200 pounds. About 50% of that cow is non-saleable for human consumption. That means you either have to pay to put it into the garbage dump or you would send it to the rendering plant. Well, the rendering plant basically is a big grinder that grinds things up and then puts it into a cooker. So the majority of the slaughter waste goes into the rendering plant. But there's a lot of other things that are out there that you can get pretty reasonable. You know, we're talking about hotel waste that are there. That's part of what goes into the rendering process. But how about animals that are roadkill, deer, elk, possum, raccoons, scraped up by the highway departments? Well, they got to go somewhere, so why not give those to the rendering people? They put those in, grind them up.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about euthanized pets, dogs and cats that come from the shelter that are unwanted, full of chemicals that were used to kill them? They, City of Los Angeles, 200 tons of dogs and cats a month, full of the chemicals that were used to kill them that, you know, are not broken down by the rendering process. They're added to the mix. They're ground up. They're turned into a thing that looks like brown sugar. Well, this brown sugar happens to be the remains of the animals, which about 25% of it, as a side note, happens to be feces. Well, it's ground up, turned into feed, and then it is fed back to the animals that are out there. If we take a cow, for example, a cow is an absolute herbivore. When we feed this rendered material back to a cow, we not only turn her into a carnivore, we used to turn them into cannibals, eating other cows. That's the process is out there. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And in my opinion, our government today is more concerned about the profitability of the companies than they are the safety of the humans.
Well, Howard Lyman, you also made the point that there is so much riding on this economically. If we started questioning publicly beyond shows like this and beyond the kind of work you and your organizations do, I think there's this great fear that suddenly this massive industry, and I know your concern is always with the family farmer and the family rancher, but the you know, the huge agribusinesses and these huge feedlot owners and all of that, the old U.S. economy, I don't think, could take another hit right now. So they're probably playing all those cards pretty close to their chest.
Well, if you think that this doesn't go all the way up to the White House, Peter, look at what's just happening right now with the grain that we're exporting that comes from crops that are genetically engineered. Our president has actually got into the world market protecting his big campaign contributors. That, you know, there's only a handful of companies out there right now that are involved in genetic engineering. Their genetic engineering, which they thought was going to be a real boom to them, has been a bust because country after country around the world, they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But here's our president in the middle of all of our terrorist problems, our economic problems. He's over there right now in the economic community filing suit against them, forcing them or trying to force them to accept our genetically engineered grain.
Particularly the European Union. Yeah.
Yeah. And those countries, they don't want them. You know, they've labeled them. I was just over in Europe, and the amazing thing is you go somewhere and you sit down, open up a menu, and it says on there, you know, our food has no genetically engineered food in it. We see that time after time. But do you see it in the United States? Over 20% of the food that's in our supermarkets today has some genetic engineering in it, and there's not label one on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, when I look at what happened down in Australia when they brought in a genetically engineered crop, first time in Australia, they found that that crop had crossed out with the weeds that were growing around the field first time around. We had no idea in the world. This is the world's biggest experiment on humans we've ever seen, because we don't know what's going to happen with this genetic engineering. That shows you the magnitude of the money that's involved and the power that they have behind it.
Sure. And Bush now also trying to pull some heartstrings, only when it's convenient, saying that genetically modified food is discouraging third world countries from using that technology and thus undermining efforts to end hunger in Africa. This is so, you know, just trying to, so cynical and so opportunistic.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when if I was the head of a country in Africa and I had hungry people and they were trying to get me to take that genetically engineered grain, I'd be faced with the thing, Peter, is, am I looking at the short term of keeping my people alive, or am I looking at keeping my country in production for generations to come?
Mm-hmm. Now, Howard,
I mean, this is short-term profitability, long-term crazy.
Now, Howard Lyman, when you were on the Oprah Winfrey program and criticized beef, and you and Oprah were sued for product disparagement by the Texas cattlemen, were you talking about mad cow disease? Had that come up as an issue then? What take us back to what year that was.
Well, this was 1996. This was right after the Minister of Health in England had stood in front of Parliament and said, we no longer can assure the English people that mad cow disease cannot be transferred from cows to humans. National Cattlemen's Beef Association said it was the exploding powder keg that was heard around the world. Oprah decided to do a show, and it was called Dangerous Food, Could It Happen Here? She came to me, and she said to me on the show, she said, here's a man who believes within 10 years, we could have a disease that would make AIDS look like a common cold. And I said, absolutely.
Hmm.
And Oprah said, well, that's a strong statement. I said, Oprah, we have 100,000 cows a year that are fine at night, dead in the morning. We round them up, grind them up, turn them into feed, and feed them back to other cows. You know, she looked at the guy from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and said, Dr. Weber, are we feeding cows to cows? And he said, well, you know, there's a limited amount of that going on. Peter, as near as I can tell, about 90% of all of the cattle that were fed in feedlots at that time were eating the remains of other animals.
Hmm.
And that's when Oprah said straight out, she said, you know, that just stops me cold. I will never again eat another burger. Now, she didn't say to the millions of people viewing, you shouldn't eat a burger. She didn't say, you know, it's the meat's infected. She just said, that stops me cold from eating another burger. On that show, I was calling for the fact that we should have quit feeding cows to cows. The amazing thing, before we ended up in court, the government, USDA and FDA, actually published regulations banning the feeding of cows, sheep, and goats back to cows, sheep, and goats. But Oprah, Harpo Production, and myself were sued. And it was over 6 years we were in court defending ourselves against what the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said in their opinion, that everything I said on the show was true and the truth is not actionable, and they still sued us. So it shows you the idiocy of the industry that's out there.
Howard Lyman's my guest. He's the author of The Mad Cowboy, The Cattle Rancher Who Won't Eat Meat. You can go to madcowboy.com to see Howard's website. That's L-Y-M-A-N, the way he spells his last name. But, Howard, there was a statement in there, though, that on the face of it sounds pretty extreme, and where you quoted yourself saying that what is happening could make the AIDS epidemic pale in comparison, or some words like that. Now, we're talking with AIDS with 40 million people infected, and the infected people in England, as far as I understand, is only in the hundreds. So,
Wait a minute, Peter. The people in England that have died at this point are in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this infection in humans from the time you're infected until you show the symptoms and die can be anywhere from 10 to 40 years. If we look at AIDS, AIDS basically is transferred with people with unsafe sex habits, or if we're looking at somebody, drug users. Well, if we look at the number of people that fit those categories against those that are eating meat, I think that the potential is much larger for the meat-eating community than there are with people that have drug habits or unsafe sex. And so my statement, I believe, at that time was correct. I stand by it today because I don't know when we're going to see the other shoe drop. The man that won the Nobel Prize, Dr. Stanley Prusiner, was just over in England. He won the Nobel Prize for his research in this prion disease, and he said publicly that he believed that every person in England should be tested for mad cow disease.
No.
So I think we're a long way away from knowing whether this 125 people that have died are just the tip of the iceberg, or how many of the other folks out there are infected.
Well, Howard Lyman, I want to thank you for being with us. I was only kidding before when I said I was going to get a burger. I haven't had a burger in 30 years and don't intend to start now. And after, I always, when we speak, I always make it a point not to. But maybe we could get some people calling in after our break at 1-800-TALK-YES to say, after hearing Howard Lyman, our guest, do they feel like Oprah did? That stops me cold. Stops me cold. Howard Lyman, thanks so much for being with us, as usual.
Well, Peter, it's been a joy, and keep up the fight.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And you go to madcowboy.com. Or is this like cigarettes? I did a show on Sunday night in Detroit at my local station and talked with people about smoking because, you know, that World Health Organization, not a treaty exactly, but, you know, said that they had to do everything we could to stop the spread of smoking, particularly among young people. And yet, everything we know about it, people just keep on smoking. But partly that is a physical addiction. Here we have a choice. Wonder what you think about that. Does what Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy, says, does that stop you cold? You tell me. I'm Peter Werbe at 1-800-TALK-YES. I'll be right back with Jalene Jordan. She doesn't eat any meat either.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
It's the one that got away. It's the one you turned your office upside down for. It's the one receipt you need. With Open, the Small Business Network from American Express, you don't have to worry. Now you can track your small business's expenses daily and have a printable tax record online going back 2 years, but only when you have the American Express business card, the card with the savings, rewards, and services of the Open network behind it. To apply, call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
to. I
want
to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
President got on TV, there was nary a dry eye. He said he loved his country and mom and apple pie. He said he was a proud man and he liked his home fries grill. But as for countries harboring terrorists, those people should be killed. He said we'd send our bombers to deal with rogue states, and all those evil people would have to meet their fate. So it was with some trepidation that I looked up to the skies, 'cause I was driving past Fort Benning when I came to realize that I guess we're gonna have to bomb Columbus, Georgia, home of the infamous SOA. 'Cause they trained the death squads of Columbia, who commit a massacre every day.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
That's David Rovics on the Peter Werby Show. Julene Jordan, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Just got this note from Jean. She's listening in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, kind of down the road from us here in Detroit. You're in Miami, where you say there's a hell of a rainstorm going on.
There is, a big old tropical thing happening right now. All the last 3 days. I've never seen such incredible amounts of rain in my life.
No.
There in the north.
Well, Gene writes this in response to Howard Lyman, the mad cowboy. We're talking about mad cow disease.
Right.
Says, just a short note to let you know the reasons I've never fed my two Shar Pei dogs any type of commercially prepared pet food was due to the crap that they're putting into it. And he talks about many of the same things that Howard has. And said, I was raised on a farm in Ontario, and one thing I remember my father saying, why do you think dogs and cats have such bad breath? It's because they are being fed dead and diseased animals.
Yeah.
My motto has always been, I would not feed my dogs anything that I was not willing to eat myself. That's a good idea.
Okay, so science diet is definitely out at this point.
Is
now
that right?
Is that a commercially available? Let me know.
It says the ingredients. I was making a note to take a look at my dogs.
I'm going to.
Here's Doug in Orange County. Doug, it's Peter Werby and Julene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hey, Doug, you with us?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like to say, I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Listening to your last guest, sounds like Soylent Green.
Do you remember that, Jalene?
No.
Another Charlton Heston movie.
Oh, see, that's why.
Everything at the, you know, everything has gone to hell. Post-apocalyptic movies. And
well,
at the end, Soylent Green is people!
It's people.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, as far as like being stopped cold, what am I supposed to do? I can't eat the burger, and I can't eat the genetically altered grain that goes into the bun. So what am I supposed to do here?
Well, I don't know. I had a friend of mine that got so freaked out about additives in food that he only would take wheatgrass juice until there was a little bit of intervention. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. Hey, did you see this stuff, Jalene? Because we've just got a few seconds left about the Matrix sequel, The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah, they went down, you mean?
No, it has some real unflattering imagery of George W. Bush in it. I'll tell you about it when we come back. This is the Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. The latest fighting in Iraq has left two Americans dead and more than a half dozen wounded. Officials say U.S. soldiers were attacked with rocket-propelled grenades and small arms. Initial reports indicate the attackers may have been firing from a mosque. Hopes remain high for a meeting of U.S., Israeli, and Palestinian leaders. Priscilla Huff reports.
In another indication that Israel is willing to cooperate on the roadmap to bring peace to the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is saying keeping 3.5 million people under occupation is bad for the Palestinians and bad for the Israelis. But Mr. Sharon promises if the Palestinian terror continues, they will get nothing. The prospects for peace may come down to who is willing to take the first step. For now, the Bush administration is trying to seize the opportunity they think is there, eyeing a summit with Mr. Bush, Mr. Sharon, and Mr. Abbas in Jordan or Egypt after the Group of Eight meetings. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
A search is underway in the Atlanta area for a possible serial killer. FBI spokesman Joe Paris says Derek Todd Lee may have been spotted in Atlanta Sunday. Lee, who is from the Baton Rouge area of Louisiana, is charged with the murder and rape of one woman and is a suspect in as many as five other murders. He is considered armed and dangerous.
He's also a smooth talker. He wins his victim's confidence prior to turning violent. This is one of the things that concerns us so. He doesn't appear to be a monster. It's only later that he does turn violent.
Paris says evidence gathered at a Southeast Atlanta hotel confirms Lee was at the building on Monday. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that states can be sued by workers seeking damages related to family leave. The court ruled that state workers could sue under a federal law that allows employees to take time off to care for a seriously ill family member. More news in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Low mortgage rates are helping to send new home sales through the roof. The Commerce Department reports new home sales rose 1.7% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.028 million. That is the third fastest pace in the four decades that the government has been tracking the data. Americans snapped up new homes in three of the nation's four regions. The Northeast actually witnessed a major cooling off in the new housing market. More news after this.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad.
I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
The power is back on at Oklahoma City's tornado-damaged General Motors assembly plant. The factory was heavily damaged after being struck by a tornado in May. Hundreds of employees will report back to work this week to get the plant's machines back online. With the recession continuing, many businesses and investors may be wondering when the clouds will lift on the U.S. economy. Investment Representative Joe Wimsatt says things could get worse before they get better.
We're talking about the loss of value of real assets. That real assets would be your home. If you own gold coins, would actually go down in value. We're all used to hearing about inflation, where a dollar tomorrow is worth more than a dollar today. Devaluation or deflation is when a dollar tomorrow is worth less than it is today.
Wimsatt says the last time American property, currency, and stocks suffered from devaluation was in the 1930s following the stock market crash. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin. All designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Joined by Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hello, Peter. Good to be here.
We talked last hour with Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy, talking about the quality of our, what would you call it, our meat? Now, there's a phrase for that. In other words,
meat supply.
All right. I think that's perfect. About weather and cow disease of the North American meat supply. Howard Lyman says, yeah, a lot of this stuff doesn't show up for years, and it's not a way of dodging his predictions about that it already is present in American, North American cattle, but because it doesn't. And what happens is your brain actually, what is it, spongiform or something like that? Your brain actually gets, it's not very pretty.
It's a horrible outcome, yes.
Yeah. Also, and I guess maybe we should give this up because there's not too many people showing interest, or maybe they are. We were asking, because Jalene and Jordan and I were having an on-the-air, I don't know, dispute, but a discussion about whether or not we should remove or leave. And I'm tending towards agreeing with you. This little clip, this little link that I have on my website, it's Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com, PeterWerbe.com. And it's George Bush, Tony Blair lip-syncing this song, I Want to Take You to a Gay Bar. Jalene said, not well done, not very funny, and my concern was, is the premise of it homophobic?
I've been thinking about it more. And I think that it definitely, for someone who is gay or lesbian, that they I could see them taking it that way.
But we did have a bisexual caller, Kate, that said no. But that doesn't mean.
That's the other thing is gay bars are a blast. I love gay bars. Been going to them for a lot of years. And my group of friends who I hang out with, they go all the time. We all go. And so it's like, wait a minute, that is a good place to go.
Well, I know, but I don't mean that it's negative there. If George and Tony went to a gay bar, maybe they would give up on some of their, like, supercharged testosterone poison machismo. Wouldn't make so much war.
We don't even want them there.
All right. Okay. Well, you go to women's gay bars. They're going to have to go to men's gay bars.
I go to both.
Yeah. Really,
yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
A friend of mine who is heterosexual, has like jillions of kids with tons of wives, he bought a women's gay bar in San Francisco. And I said, why did you do that? He said, oh, so I could dance. I say, okay, I'm going to move on to the next subject here. Anyways, Dan writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I have to say that the video for the gay bar was very creative. It did put a smile on my face, but I wasn't laughing. Still good. I like it. Thanks for the show and helping this lonely liberal get through this brainwashed world in the conservative town of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Ah.
So I think maybe if it was up to a vote, we still couldn't make any sense of it. All right, you can go to it now because I think I'm going to take it. Actually, I'm leaving for Nashville as soon as I'm going right to the airport. But it may be up there for a few days, but you've won me over, Jolene. I'm going to take it off. And people, this isn't censorship because if it was, I would leave it on. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to see it, peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com. And we're focusing on this, but there are tons, I don't know, maybe hundreds, ultimately the entire web there filled with, I think, incredible links.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm not bragging because all I did was copy and paste.
No, we have a lot of people who send us links, and we always say, hey, if you have something good, right?
Sure. Here's Robert in Washington, D.C. Robert, thanks for holding on. And it's Peter Werbe and Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, folks. Thank
Hi.
You. I sure have taken another thought about the fact that I eat meat. I was actually raised a vegetarian and think it gave me a real good foundation for strong health. But hearing what you've illustrated and what the mad cowboy had to say sure makes me think about going vegetarian again.
Yeah, you know, tell us about being raised. I mean, you had vegetarian parents?
Yeah, exactly. And we did it actually mostly for ethical reasons, but to a certain extent for health reasons. But let me tell you, some of the old Loma Linda and Worthington foods that we had then were sure pretty awful compared to what they have now.
Yeah, well,
they were
I was just going to ask you. Those are called meat analogs, by the way. And I was going to ask you if you were a Seventh-day Adventist or whether your parents were hippies.
No, neither actually. I think maybe they were just a little ahead of the curve with regards to researching how, you know, the process of how it's made and so on. And it kind of reminds me of a book that I need to go back and read, probably the seminal work on meat production, Upton Sinclair's The Jungle.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Did it to me.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you can find it in any library, and it's in the public domain. So I actually found it online at, I think it's boondocsnet.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely something to look at. But this whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, has gotten really messy because of what we've done to Canada. And like the mad cowboy said, the damage to the innocent Canadian farmer is absolutely incredible and will continue to be. And I can't help but think that Canada has been punished by the fact that they have more stringent testing standards than we do in this country.
And I think they're even cutting back because this economy is in such bad shape. All the money that's around is increasingly being used for warfare. Mm-hmm. And the number of meat inspectors has been being cut back at a time when it probably should be increased, for sure.
Right. And you know, I mean, in addition to fulfilling Bush's threat to punish Canada, I see this as being one of the classic political strategies, which is inoculation. If you want to deal with a disaster, which would be the discovery of mad cow disease in America, one of the best ways to deal with that is to find a scapegoat. And most people now, if it were to be discovered, the first thing they would do it would be to blame Canada, whether that was fair or not.
France. I think it's France's fault.
There you go.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
And Bill Clinton. It's his fault, too.
Hey, tell us about Clinton. Clinton's popularity. He's the third most popular president in American history, according to a recent poll. Do you have that in front of you? You sent it to me, but wait, I have it. I have it here.
Okay, good.
Yep, no, this is, that's not it. Hmm.
I can find it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, wait. Isn't that, now, remember when we read the one about it wasn't Clinton? It was like Reagan was number one or something.
No, no, no. He was number six.
Well, okay.
He should be. How many presidents? 42? Are we at 43? 43, yeah.
Remember?
41 and 43, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he actually, Reagan should be in the 40s in terms of best president. You know.
Yes.
But only Abraham Lincoln, chosen by 15%, John F. Kennedy, 13%, finished ahead of Clinton at 11% in the April poll, which asked Americans who was the greatest president, although George W. Bush tied Clinton. So, as they say, go figure. Right? All right. Here's David in Alabama. David, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hey, David.
Hey, Peter and Jalene. You had the right person about the mayor car. My comment is that it's not only meat, it's the milk, butter.
Yeah.
It covers a lot lotter than just meat, because milk today is for cows. You know, cow's milk is for baby cows.
Yeah, this is the only species on the planet where we drink the milk of another
animal.
Species. That's weird.
Really
if someone
weird.
Said to almost anybody, we're going to let you drink mother's milk, that we've had, you know, lactating humans putting milk into a bottle and we want you to drink it. I mean, including me, I would say like, and Shard's going, yeah, but we say, hey, we're going to take milk from a cow, another animal. Okay, let's glug it right down.
and to put it bluntly, it's not only just beef. It is other meat, too. And you see today the actors on TV, they are promoting, and you see them on billboards too, they're promoting the milk mustache, drinking milk for more calcium, but greens have more calcium than milk. Why don't they put on the billboard the act of having a jar full of greens, you know? That wouldn't be too effective.
There you go. Stay healthy, David.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll promote the greens and the grains. And
thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for calling. I was going to say with the milk thing, I mean, you just the organic thing is at least better.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Hey, here's what I was talking about. I forgot about this. About Bush has been equated with Hitler in Matrix Reloaded, the sequel to The Matrix.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, let me see.
What's
where is it?
That,
during
Peter?
The scene in question, actor Keanu Reeves, who plays the hero Neo, is standing in front of a large bank of video screens as he discusses mankind's history with the designer of the computer-simulated world, which is called The Matrix. Images of wickedness begin to rapidly flash on the monitors, including photos of nuclear warfare and notorious killers. When the architect of the Matrix describes the folly of man, look at the screens behind Neo, which show images of a historical monster and a contemporary president. The historical monster to whom he refers is Hitler, and the president is George W. Bush, as well as his father, for a brief moment.
Whoa.
Well.
Maybe that's why it did so poorly at the box office. You know, like, well, no, wait.
Wait.
I got to reverse that.
It did great. It was like record-breaking, wasn't
it? But not this week, this last week.
No, okay.
Yeah, it went
well,
down.
It's pretty weird, and it talks about computer-simulated world. I don't even want to go into this because it's so weird and complex, but there is a French philosopher named Jean Baudrillard who talks about simulacra, how life is no longer lived directly, but rather we are just living in its images. Not just consuming images, but living in the images of what the simulacra world creates. Whoa.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So this is where all of this stuff is coming from. Here's Jerry in North Carolina. Jerry, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, how are y'all?
We are good. Hey, I'm going down to Nashville. I'm going to be saying how y'all when I come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get plenty of you all down there.
I know. Go ahead, Jerry.
I had a comment on the mad cow.
Sure.
The last detected time that a major feed company put bone meal, which is ground up cow, in cattle feed, and it was fed to cows, that company had to buy a whole herd of over 800 animals and have them slaughtered because it's now against the law.
So it is actually against the law, huh?
Yes, it is. You can only use for like protein sources. You can only use like soybean meal, cottonseed meal, things like that.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's good to know. I mean, it's hard to tell. I would rather have Howard Lyman on giving the worst case scenario and let people respond to that than just kind of go along with saying nothing about the possibility of mad cow in our domestic herd. So, what's your sense of it? You think our meat supply is good?
Well, now I work in this industry, and I agree with what he said, although I will say that there has been some improvement because of this. But now what you were saying about dog foods,
right,
or animals that we're not supposed to be eating, now they still do use meat and bone meal in those products. And if you ever saw those products in their state, when they came into a dog food plant, it would really make you sick.
Oh, my poor puppies. And I just read that the remaining bags of dog food, did you know there was dog food that was suspected of having parts from this Canadian cow?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, in Chicago.
Oh, that's great.
But dogs cannot contract mad cow disease, it says.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, North Carolina, big meatpacking industry down there. I mean, like, super. I think when we come back, we're going to be doing our little segment called Dollars and Cents. It's kind of new. I'll tell you about it when we come back. As we continue on with the weeks ahead, we're going to be doing a specific guest each time. But just got a little item. So we'll tell you about that when Jalene Jordan and I come back. If you want to call in the meantime, 1-800-TALK-YES. And Jalene, we have a guest, too. Norman Solomon? Yeah, she's not even with us.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
It's time for Dollars and Cents with Peter Werby, making sense out of finance, money, and the economy. Call Peter now with your questions at 1-800-TALK-YES. Now, here's Peter.
Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK-YES. Jalene Jordan, you're back with us?
I am here.
That's good. But usually this is going to be a segment where we have a guest and we try to get a little deeper into these issues that on the face of it aren't real sexy. You're not going to see them front and center on CNN or Foxhole News or anything like that, but ultimately affect the quality of the quality of life for all of us here and around the world. And this was sent in to us by Lorraine, and she's from Detroit, same city where I'm broadcasting from. It's a quote from Tony Judt, J-U-D-T, in the New York Review of Books for May 1st, 2003. And this says, in America, where the disparities between rich and poor are greater than anywhere else in the developed world. In other words, all the industrial countries, G7 or G8, however you want to count it, we have the greatest disparity of wealth and poverty, mm-hmm. even though we're the so-called, we're not that so-called.
Superpower.
Whatever. Wealthiest country in the world.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. In America, fully 19% of the adult population claims to be in the richest 1% of the nation. Well, when they ask people, where would you assign your income? What percentage? Almost 20% of the people interviewed say, I'm in the richest 1%. They think they're in the richest 1%. This goes to the great self-delusion that so many Americans labor under. And a further 20% believe they will enter that 1% in their lifetime. So almost 40% of the people either think they're in the richest 1% of the nation or that they will be one day, which is absolutely preposterous.
Yeah.
I would suspect, I don't have this, we can talk about this, I suspect that the class mobility that takes people up into the 1%, you got to remember, if you're like in, say, the 96th percentile of income, I mean, you're probably making, you know, $3 million, $4 million a year. Those people aren't going to make it into the 1% probably. That 1% is like a caste, C-A-S-T-E.
T-E.
Yeah, right. like in India. So if you wonder, why are people saying, yes, give this tax break to the ultra-wealthy, it's because they think they're going to be there one day. Now, according to Mark Weisbrot, who's been on our show any number of times, in an article in commondreams.org yesterday, he says one-third of American taxpayers are going to get nothing from this tax cut, and more than half will get less than $100 for the year, which is, what, like, I can't even do it, you know, $2 a week. Here's Sarah in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Sarah, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I tuned in real late, and I don't know if you covered this, but just a real quick comment on Mad Cow. You know, the gelatin capsules, that's from cattle, you know,
right.
The gelatin from cows.
Uh-huh.
And those are widely used in, you know, even vegetarians who want to avoid beef. Well, there's a beef product right there. And all during the mad cow disease that was rampant in Britain and other parts of Europe when they were burning all the cattle a few years back.
Sure.
People were popping Altoids, and they still are. You know, these breath mints?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the ingredients on the breath mints, one of them is gelatin.
Well, yeah, and also, now is gelatin the same as rennet? Rennet is also an animal product that they used to make jellies with.
Rennet is an enzyme, I'm not exactly sure, I think it's an enzyme from the stomach of a calf.
Right.
And, yeah,
So they use that for.
But I don't know exactly.
So they make a lot of jams. Well, I tell you, Sarah, neither Jalene nor I eat meat, but I don't know. Do you eat fish, Jalene? No.
No.
So you, the only animal products you eat are like ones that are taken. What do they call it? Benignly, right? If you can call like the way these egg factories.
Yeah, but
are.
Who would have thought an Altoid would have?
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
well,
nobody bothered to read. I just happened to, by accident, one day look at the ingredients. I had time on my hands waiting at a cash register, and there it was, gelatin.
Well, so, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to be a vegan. That is, someone who eats no animal products whatsoever.
We're just talking about supposing. All these other issues aside, supposing you just wanted to avoid danger of mad cow disease.
Gotcha.
And you just decided you would...
Well, we'll have to see whether you can get it. I mean, this is interesting. I'm going to check on this, whether you can get it.
Oh, great. That'd be great.
Thank you, Sarah.
Continue to listen. Thanks
a lot. Well, I appreciate it. Now, we're talking about that 1%. Bill in Seattle writes in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Do you think that people really believe that they're in that upper 1% of the income group? I think it's just that they believe the supply-side snake oil peddled by the spokespeople for the exclusionist class. I think
people still believe that we're in a democracy. So, I don't know. You know, the propaganda, if it's repeated often enough. And
you got it. Thank you, Sarah.
Right.
Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back. Got another guest, Norman Solomon. We're going to talk about terrorism and the press.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A week-old strike by West Virginia employees of the Adelphia Cable Company could spread, according to the Communications Workers of America. About 40 workers who supply cable services to residents of Morgantown, West Virginia, walked off the job May 22nd after rejecting their company's call for a freeze on wage increases. Since then, Adelphia workers in three other locations have authorized possible strikes, including 200 cable technicians in Los Angeles.
An Alaskan jury has found no evidence to justify a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of nearly 5,000 salmon fishermen against fish wholesalers and distributors who stood accused of conspiring to lower salmon prices over the last 10 years. Attorneys for the fishermen say the various processing and distribution companies shared price information, collaborated to drive down prices, and underpaid the fishermen for $1 billion of salmon. But the processors successfully argued that a global decline in salmon demand, coupled with competition from salmon farms, drove down the price. Not all fishermen lost in the case, though. A handful settled their claims before the lawsuit began and collected about $40 million between them.
The Service Employees International Union's Justice for Janitors campaign has scored a lot of victories this year, from securing health coverage for Washington, D.C.'s janitors to winning a nearly 40% wage increase for the workers who clean the office buildings of Los Angeles. But a similar campaign in Denver, Colorado, appears ready to hit a brick wall. The 2,000 janitors with SEIU Local 105 are looking to win health care in a city where 9 out of 10 janitors have no health insurance. But negotiators representing cleaning contractors say they want to end union representation for workers in many of the city's smaller office buildings. That leaves a lot of ground to cover before the union's contract expires on Saturday, though the union has ruled out a strike, at least for now.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi,
truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
All three of them. Yeah, it's Joe Strummer, late drummer with the band The Clash, recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And joining us is Norman Solomon, the syndicated columnist and also the co-author of the book Target Iraq: What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Norman, welcome as usual to the Peter Werby Show.
Hi, Peter.
We had your co-author, Reese Ehrlich, on just last week or so.
Yeah, Reese is a very tough-minded reporter, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I see that he's actually one of the guests available through the group that you're also the executive director. Am I giving you too fancy a title? Is that your...
Well, so it's something like that. Yeah, Reese actually did some investigative reporting in Iran, which, as we know now, is really in the gun sights of the Pentagon, it seems.
Yeah, silly old me, when people were asking, do you think they're going to go into Iran? And I said, no, I mean, I guess I still don't think they are. I mean, the idea that Iraq is so still unsettled, that Americans are being shot to death almost daily, or at least shot, and we've just had this spate of GI deaths there, that gangs rule whole sections of cities. They couldn't tell me, Norman, they couldn't really be thinking about going on to Iran.
Well, I think it's on their calendar, but they don't know exactly where. It might be a year or two, I think.
Now, that's interesting, because that was the same thing with Iraq. I mean, that's why we had Darth Rumsfeld, the minister for war, writing in his diary, 4 p.m. on September 11, 2001, can we hit S.H., Saddam Hussein?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a calendar, and it's just a matter when they can fit him in.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Let's go to your very, very interesting column, Decoding the Media Fixation on Terrorism. And are we still on a high orange alert? I mean, I guess so.
The last I heard, unless there's a superseding photo op that would require downgrading.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the fixation is that it works well. You can have little orange graphics on the side of your screen, and give me your sense of it. What's going on with this?
Well, I think war is good for demagogues who want to distract attention from other problems, and of course, with a capital E, the economy is in that category. And the so-called war on terrorism and these alerts, I think, also are just part of a militarization of consciousness, a way to draw attention towards certain things, away from others. It's inherently authoritarian. It's looking to the powerful people with the weapons to protect us. And also it's based on a double standard, where when we ask how we can stop terrorism, the rhetorical answer is, well, you go bomb people, you do that sort of a thing, you gut or at least damage severely civil liberties. And the question is rarely raised, and even more rarely answered, well, how is the United States contributing to terrorism, even participating, even inflicting terrorism by its support of regimes that are, as a matter of policy, killing their own civilians? And then, of course, the bombing of Baghdad. I mean, really, if dropping 2,000-pound bombs on people in their neighborhoods isn't terrorism, I'm not sure I know what is.
I wonder, Norman Solomon, if we put out the question, not so much the people listening to the Peter Werby Show or listening to you, but the general population, and we said to them, could you give us an estimate as to how many civilians in Iraq have been killed? I wonder if they would come up with any answer whatsoever. I mean, I think the first thing that they would look, their eyes would kind of glaze over and they would think, wow, I've never thought about that before.
Well, I think it would be a much lower number than I think the solid estimates of several thousand. But also there's another layer, which is the fallback position. That's the way war is. And then if there's any sort of comparison made whatsoever between Osama bin Laden and George Bush, who after all both ordered actions that killed innocent people, including a lot of children in the case of Baghdad, the answer is, well, you know, one was intentional and one wasn't, so right. Don't blame Bush. And I think you can really take another look at that, put it in a different and I think deeper perspective by saying, could any reasonable person expect that what the U.S. was going to do in Baghdad would kill civilians? And I think that's clearly the case. So there's kind of a mental psychological propaganda dodge to avoid the fact that the U.S. government took actions anybody who knew about the situation would know would take a lot of innocent lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rumsfeld, the Secretary of War, says whenever asked, I don't think he said this about Iraq, but he used to always say about Afghanistan when a wedding was bombed or it turned out that any number of civilians had died. I think the figure's around 4,000 or so. He would say it's regrettable and
yeah.
a conversation stopper. Because, hey, look, the guy said he regretted it. Why are you hectoring him?
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Norman Solomon is my guest on the Peter Werbe Show. We're talking about decoding the media fixation on terrorism. Now, I'm forgetting his first name, but Alexander Coburn's father once said that the Fleet Street papers, the papers of London back in probably the 30s or the 40s, were run by a conspiracy of men who never meet. And yet, we're talking about how this terrorism functions to deflect any real look at the problems that beset the world, particularly the economy. So, I mean, how does this mechanism work? I mean, George Bush isn't calling up the head of, or is he, calling up the head of a media and say, look, the people are beginning to talk about the economy again. We're going to raise the alert. I want this on the front page.
Oh, definitely does not work that way. The U.S. government, through particularly the White House, is able to decide what they're going to emphasize. And then the journalists rationalize giving such a huge megaphone by saying, well, you know, they're the newsmakers, they're the important people. And so by the way that journalists, through their management, are encouraged to define news, the people in the White House and the administration are able to really rivet attention in certain directions and away from others. And, of course, it doesn't hurt, to put it mildly, that the same corporations giving money to a Bush or a Gore or whoever are also giving, through advertising and ownership, a lot of money to the employees.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you go through your column a little, and I was particularly taken with a couple of sections where you talk about the internationally syndicated columnist Gwynne Dyer and what they wrote about how news is selected in terms of what we get to hear, what then we focus on.
Yeah, Dyer is well published in other parts of the world, not so much in the United States, occasionally here. And he pointed out that a couple of weeks back we had huge headlines about terrorism in Israel and elsewhere, about 150 people died, something like that, which is not, you know, every death is a tragedy, and we should acknowledge that. But he was pointing out that, meanwhile, you had events around the world that took many thousands of lives, you know, a lot of car accidents in India, he uses as an example, deaths through shootings in the United States where guns proliferate. You've got numbers that really dwarf the count of deaths from terrorism, and yet somehow it's terrorism that gets the huge attention. And he's, I think, without using these words, he's raising the question, what about the structural violence that isn't labeled as terrorism, that's just built into the political economy and the way that money rules in our own society, for that matter?
Well, the argument, how about this, is a counter-argument. We're talking about accidents. Those are, again, unintentional. Although there's an interesting critique, if you will, of accidents. If you know they're going to occur, I mean, can you really say that they're accidents? I mean, they're random in their occurrence, but if you're going to figure in advance that we're going to have X number of people injured and killed by a certain mode of transportation or whatever, it's really a little not appropriate to call it an accident. But in any event, we're concerned because of the intent of terrorism and the way it's presented to us, that they are so random that any of us at any time could be the victim of terror. At least this is the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And I think there's a real reticence to look at, say, okay, designs of products that we know will kill certain numbers of people. I mean, cars were designed more safely or less unsafely. The numbers of deaths dropped compared to what it would have been, you know, larger seat belts, that sort of thing. Well, there are all kinds of ways that lives could be saved, but it's considered in cost-benefit ratio not to be worth all of the hassle. And there are all kinds of calculations, and I mean that in a dual sense, calculations made in high executive corporate places that, hey, you know, we don't want to do that because it would just cost us too much to save these lives. And then there's the more overt level of deciding not to feed starving people, deciding to support regimes that are based on economic inequity. And so you've got the UN saying that in the next hour, well over 1,000 children will die from preventable illnesses. Well, that's the point. They are preventable, but they're not being prevented because of the way wealth is and is not distributed on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Norman, you quote George Bush denouncing terrorists as, quote, killers who can't stand peace, which, of course, is absurd. I mean, they're willing to use violent methods, but that's not their motivation. And I guess, well, here, let me just ask you to look at the words and the use of killers and terrorists. One of the things I say is that if you kill women and children and you have uniforms on, you're soldiers. If you kill women and children and you're in plain clothes, you're a terrorist.
Yeah, and I often think when I hear about someone like Bush denouncing the killers who hate peace that, first of all, he is a killer. Now, he has his own justifications, but there's no doubt he is. And then in terms of loving or hating peace, I mean, I haven't noticed that when Bush ordered the assault on Iraq a couple of months ago, that he was any kind of lover of peace. It sure seemed that he hated peace himself at that juncture. Clausewitz, the theorist of war, said that every conqueror loves peace. And it's not as cynical so much as just an astute statement that a conqueror wants peace after the conqueror gets what he wants.
Well, the other argument, in fact, you've kind of addressed this. The idea, for instance, is the Palestinian suicide bombers are trying to take a toll on civilians. The hundreds of children that have been killed and wounded by the Israeli Defense Forces, those are collateral damage. They didn't intend to kill children, although the number of children that the Israelis have killed far outnumber those that the Palestinians have killed of Jewish children. But is there a quality of intent there? I mean, I guess not to me. I mean, there's dead kids.
Well, I think the intent is more rhetorical because the pattern is so pernicious and constant of civilians being killed in the occupied territories, the West Bank and Gaza, killed by the, and here's a nice Orwellian term, Israeli Defense Forces. Well, if they're defense forces, why are they occupying other people's territory and killing kids, among other people? There's a Israeli-Jewish human rights group called B'Tselem, and in our book Target Iraq, we actually get into this because of the double standard, and I quote, talk about the B'Tselem human rights group looking at the data, saying that in one period, 80% of those who were killed for curfew violations by the Israeli forces were children, and those children were not attacking the Israeli forces. So you got to wonder, you know, what is this policy really about, and what is it really doing?
Mm-hmm. So what do we? I mean, how to sort through this? I mean, I notice that increasingly, at least the media is reporting on Palestinian civilian deaths, and sometimes even has a few lead stories on the internet. But ultimately, the media is able to select for us, or functions like that to select for us what's important. And those are the ones, those are the issues that are highly charged. When you bring up civilian deaths among the Palestinians, you get that, again, you get that kind of glaze.
Yeah. I think looking at the language of the news reports is important. You'll find when Israeli civilians are killed, which, of course, I would denounce as well. I know you do, too. But looking at the coverage, how the language tends to be different when the killers are Palestinian, quote-unquote, terrorists, and when they're Israeli troops. And I think we've got to be really conscious of how manipulative our mainstream media and even punditry, especially punditry quite often, really are. And contrast and compare with, for instance, what you hear on the Peter Werbe Show.
Mm-hmm. Norman Solomon's on the Peter Werbe Show. He's the co-author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. This first came out, the book you co-authored with Reese Ehrlich. Remind us when, late last year, was it?
It came out actually January of this year.
All right. The information in it, when you assess it, I'm trying to think if I remember anything that that turned out to be incorrect. Is there anything that that surprised you that you, in fact, weren't correct about, or did it mainly what's happened confirm what you said?
It was really a challenge because we wrote it before the war. I think something I didn't anticipate was the technique of media manipulation vis-a-vis the embedding of soldiers, because we talked about what happened during the Gulf War. We certainly didn't anticipate the way that these soldiers would be embedded. So even though they quote-unquote saw the action and got PR benefits for the Pentagon on that ground, they really were not functioning very independently. And so I really didn't expect the embedded thing to be carried as far as it was, although I don't think it really improved the coverage. Another thing is just the number of deaths from the war was less than we didn't predict at all. We said, here's a possible range. There's no telling what will actually happen. And indeed, most predictions were wrong.
Well, on the Iraq body count, you go to my website and see that. A minimum 5,425, maximum 7,041. This is all the United States government will not come up with anything. This is culled from news reports. Then we also have a weapons of mass destruction count, and, of course, biochemical and nuke are at zero. All right. Well, thank you so much, as usual, for being with us, Norman Solomon. Your column now, where is it appearing now?
Can go on the web to fear.org, okay. And the MediaBeat column is there. Thanks to you, Peter. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and also for Norman's book, Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You, is still very, very relevant. You can go to contextbooks.com and check that out as well. Thank you, Norman.
Thanks, Peter.
Appreciate it. All right, next hour, although this hour isn't by a long shot over. In fact, you can call 1-800-TALK-YES, and we'll let you get you on the air. We're going to have Dana Beale, a yippie. Remember there were the hippies? Then there were the yippies, like Paul Krasner. They were the ones that nominated Pegasus the Pig in 1968 at the Democratic Convention before the Chicago cops broke everything up. Well, he's going to be on next hour. The yippies are still with us. And what is significant is the Republicans are coming to New York City, which now is the headquarters of the yippies. So once again, it'll be yippies versus the Republicans. 1968 redo. All right, I'm Peter Werbe. I'll be back with Jalene Jordan. We're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Please join us.
I spent years learning to cope with my mental health problems and just as long conquering substance addiction. But I did both, and I'm incredibly proud. But with the world and everything going on today, I get so overwhelmed. It's so tempting to turn to drugs and alcohol to help me escape. I don't want all of my accomplishments to just go away.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and alcohol to cope, get information and treatment referral at 1-800-662-HELP.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
When I was 12, my father was killed in an industrial accident at a
vacant lot
where he worked. My mother insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to get an education. So she took a job waiting tables at a
parking garage
to support us. She worked double shifts. And on her break, she would pick me up from
the highway on-ramp
and drop me off at the big
office building.
And I'd spend hours and hours just reading books. I remember every Saturday we'd have breakfast at the
parking garage.
And I'd tell her what I had read. And her eyes would just light up. Because she knew I'd end up in college, not working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America, and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy? Welcome
to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It's worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Norman Solomon, always a wonderful addition to this show, huh?
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's great.
Norman's a great guy, and he's always fun to have on, and informative.
You know, somewhere along the line, Jalene, people started making 10-point programs. The most famous one, at least within the last generation, is the Black Panther Party, and they had 10-point programs. So everyone always has 10 points for some reason or other. I don't know why they have to, but
yeah.
But that's sort of the standard. And you know the people at True Majority? What is it? TrueMajority.org or .com? Do I have it here? But it's founded by Ben Cohen. TrueMajority.org. Yeah, co-founder. Right. Ben and Jerry's. Get that Superman flavor ice cream. Anyways, they have a 10-point program, and I want to see if I can get through this quickly, but it's too long. I don't think, but it's a number one: attack poverty and world hunger as if our life depends on it. It does. Two, champion the rights of every child, woman, and man. Three, end our obstructionism to world treaties, that kind of things. Close the book on the Cold War and end the nuclear nightmare.
Beautiful.
Yeah, on and on. Get big money out of politics, and
yeah,
enough to make 10. The guy who I'm always hesitant to mention, but do, Michael Weiner, Michael Savage, Michael Weiner Savage.
I think you have an obsession.
Well, the guy, I mean, I've never heard his voice even, but I read his stuff, and I mean, he is such a loser. And in fact, his ratings are absolutely going down the drain.
Yippee!
Yeah, and you can go to my website, peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E.com, to see that this loser is actually suing savagestupidity.com. He's got a 9-point program, right? Michael Savage.
Michael Savage does.
Yeah, he doesn't have a 10-point program. He's got a 9-point program. He couldn't even think of a 10th one. So the first one
dummy.
Has some, this is Men and Women Protecting America. One, make tax cuts permanent. That's the biggie. Close the borders now. I mean, what's up with it? I can't even eliminate bilingual education. I mean, compare this to, like, attack poverty, champion the rights of every child and woman and man in this country, require health tests for all recent foreign-born immigrants. Are we detecting an obsession here?
You know, I'd say here's our 1-point plan. Get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
Get him off the airwaves.
Number 9, stop lawyers. I don't get it.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't get it at all. All right, Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan, our third hour. We're going to be talking with a yippie. Not when we come back, yippie. But about a half an hour, so please come on back.
You've been listening to The Peter Werbe Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really? You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Two American soldiers are dead and 9 are wounded after an attack today at a U.S. checkpoint in Iraq. U.S. Central Command reports that American troops killed 2 people and captured 6 others. Initial reports said the attackers had fired from a nearby mosque, but residents claim the city's mosques are far from the scene of today's gun battle. Secretary of State Colin Powell is playing down speculation about a possible change in U.S. policy toward Iran. Outside the State Department, Powell told reporters that U.S. policies have not changed.
We do not approve of their support of terrorist activities. We have made it clear over the years that we disapprove of their efforts to develop a nuclear capability.
U.S. officials have accused Iran of harboring terrorists and actively trying to build nuclear bombs. President Bush is expected to sign the new tax cut legislation tomorrow. The roughly $350 billion tax cut bill was approved by Congress last week. While Republicans view the latest tax cuts as unnecessary, Democrats call it a gift to the rich, and they warn it will cause fast-rising federal deficits to explode. A man considered to be the prime suspect in a string of murders in Louisiana is believed to have been seen as early as this morning in Atlanta, Georgia. The Georgia State Bureau of Investigation said today that Derek Todd Lee, who is suspected of killing 5 women in Louisiana, has been in the downtown Atlanta area for the past week. Authorities believe he may have changed his appearance by shaving his head bald. There was a hearing this morning in a Modesto, California courtroom to consider unsealing search warrants in the Lacey Peterson case. Lacey's husband, Scott, is charged with her murder, along with that of their unborn son. More in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
The National Association of Realtors reports that sales of previously owned homes climbed 5.6% last month, exceeding analyst expectations. The group attributes the surge in part to rebounding homebuyers' confidence and rock-bottom mortgage interest rates. In the meantime, low mortgage rates are also helping to send new home sales through the roof. The Commerce Department reports that new home sales rose 1.7% last month. More after this.
James Carver here to talk to you about something that's finer than frog hair, something that really puts the pepper in the gumbo. I'm talking about InPhone, people, a new telephone service that takes 411 and adds a whole lot of giddy-up. Just call 888-411-1111 and you get an operator who will fetch your phone numbers, movie times, driving directions, restaurant reservations. How does that grab you, fella? Let me say that number once more, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Medical officials in Toronto say they have had no new confirmed SARS cases, but they warn that the deadly virus is still spreading at some hospitals. Doctors warn they expect more deaths and infections in the coming days in Canada. A new report says the use of amphetamines in the workplace is increasing. USA Today reports drug tests on employees and job applicants indicate amphetamine use rose 17% last year. It was up more than 70% over the last 5 years. A new poll goes a long way to explain erratic driving on the nation's highways. The survey done for AAA finds 71% of drivers speed, and lots of people are doing other things like eating or reading while driving. More than a third of the drivers surveyed admitted that they run red or yellow lights. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Dear
daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to our final hour. Jalene Jordan, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Peter.
And you're going to be doing all 3 days beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Do I ever work much anymore?
What's going on with you? Well, I'm taking quite a lot of vacation coming up this summer as well, so it's your turn to fly.
I'm flying. I am flying out the door, and I got about an hour and a half to make this plane on the way to Nashville. Started off just to be kind of an R&R, or a little relaxation and meeting up with friends, and suddenly people are setting up a meet and greet, and it's kind of I don't really want to
me up.
Yeah, I don't really want to announce it. If you're in the Nashville area, oh, I don't even know what to say, how you can get on board for this. But yeah, terrorism. People actually committing terrorist acts, or maybe even get away from that phrase. We were talking with Norman Solomon, the columnist, last hour. The killing of civilians, no matter what it's done for, no matter what purpose or what means, whether it's a suicide bomb or a 2,000-pound bomb, is absolutely ethically unacceptable to me. The kids are dead. The women are dead. The town's destroyed, no matter
what. Did he call that terrorism?
No. He was saying that essentially, terrorism is this word that works for people that are employing mass violence by much more sophisticated means. None of those big, Timothy McVeigh or grabbing an airplane or something like that. We get to all pay for these huge weapons of mass destruction, which are 2,000-pound bombs and daisy cutters and F-16s and what have you. So what scares me, though, I mean, terrorism doesn't scare me. In other words, I have no concern whatsoever getting on a plane that I might be the victim of a terrorist attack or anything like that. Maybe I should, but I'm not. As I always say when I'm about to fly, I can work up my own fears. In fact, I've been flying so much, my fear ratio is down beneath my car fear.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's pretty good. Mine's down again, too, Peter. Remember, I was kind of going through a little thing.
That's good.
I didn't want to fly at all, yeah.
Actually, I'm driving back. My friends are driving me back to Detroit. So that's more worrisome to me than flying.
How long of a drive is that?
500 miles, so it's about 9.5 hours or something
that.
Yeah, that's a lot or a little?
That's a lot.
Hey, we do that all the time. Come on. We just get in the car and drive. I just drive down Florida nonstop. What is that, 1,800 miles? Back in the day, we used to drive out to California nonstop. That's about 2,500 miles,
Well, road trips are fun.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of back in the day, Dana Beale, one of the founders of the Yippies, is going to be with us at 33 minutes after the hour, right?
Yes, he is. And it was great. He said, I can talk about this with the Yippies. He started explaining different things about the Yippies he could talk about. And he goes, I could pretty much just kind of talk about all of it. He's one of the original ones.
He is. Now, I started to say, though, if terrorism isn't a big fear of mine, although it's a concern the way that it, obviously, what's going on in the world is very, very troublesome. What is kind of scary is this SARS disease, although it hasn't hit here, for instance, in Detroit, but we're 200 miles away, less than 200 miles away from Toronto.
Oh, it's that close.
Yeah, So that's a 3.5-hour drive.
Now that's more like it.
Yeah.
Even with SARS, I'd rather take that drive.
Well,
I'm not, the people in Toronto, I have a friend who lives there, and she said, it's just all the hype. She's concerned. People aren't going to Asian restaurants in Toronto.
Oh, wow. Well, remember I was telling you when I was in George Bush International Airport in Houston a couple of weeks ago, there was Chinese visitors there with surgical masks on.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether to feel better or worse. What I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. Anyways, there's good news about SARS.
Really?
Yeah. And not that it's cured. Not that less people are being infected.
What could be good?
It might soothe global deflation fears. In other words, the big concern frequently is inflation, that the money is worth less and less. But deflation, where the cost of things actually drops, which hurts people financially. And I mean, in a sense, it hurts everyone. For instance, say you owed $1,000 on your credit card. I know that's a joke, Jalene, but we won't even go there. And I don't know this. If there was inflation and suddenly that $1,000, was less of a debt because the money was worth less, it'd be one thing. But think if there was deflation, of say of 20%, and then you would actually I don't think I'm explaining.
Own more.
I don't.
Is that right?
In a sense, you know,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, money's insane.
It really is.
I can't even explain it. That's why we've been trying to get somebody on about this. I just saw that where I was going made no sense whatsoever. Don't email me about it either, please.
But it did make sense. I mean, I did
all right. So here's what this is from Alan Wheatley, the Asian economics correspondent for Reuters. He says, call it the SARS paradox. While the killer disease is set to depress prices across Asia, it could have the opposite effect globally and so help allay growing fears of deflation in the United States and Europe. So, hey.
Hey.
Yeah. William Lee, the International Monetary Fund representative in Hong Kong, says, if you really do have low-cost China no longer being a major supplier, even for a temporary period, that may actually have a positive ripple effect or on inflation in the rest of the world.
It's just like when I had that guy over here doing some floor work in my house. And I, you know, I was telling him what I do. He asked me, and I told him, you know, against the war. And he goes, well, you know, war is good for business. And I was like, get out.
Well, remember we were talking earlier about how 20% of the American population think their income puts them in the richest 1% of our country?
Right, right, yes.
Yeah, and further 20% think they're going to be in there, in the upper 1% sometime during their lifetime. You know what? Statistically, virtually zero of them will be in the upper 1%. If you're not in the 1% now, your chances, unless you're maybe in the 98th percentile or the 99th percentile already, you ain't going to be there. So it's really dreamland for so many people. Anyways, Bill from Seattle writes, the guy, this was part of his email earlier, the guy that lives across the street from me makes at most $10 an hour driving for some vending machine company. He has three children and receives food from the local church group every Sunday to help feed them, and yet, unbelievably, this guy is a Republican.
Oh, Bill.
This is the kind of guy that buys the snake oil. It really baffles me, he says. And, that's what, I think it is, some sort of mass denial that really that people can't deal with
their own reality.
Okay, there you go. I think that's well said. Now, there's an article, it's in Sunday's New York Times. It says, all these titles are so weird. Buoyed, like in B-O-Y-E-D, buoyed by resurgence, the GOP strives for an era of dominance. So the Republicans, the greedy oil party, is looking to completely sweep the American political scene. Now, this is a party that acts solely in behalf of the wealthy, yet you have people signing on like this idiot across the street from our emailer in Seattle. Yeah. Now, the Times says, with Congress thinly divided along partisan lines, although the Republicans lead in both, another presidential election taking shape and the rules of the campaign finance in legal limbo. Limbo? Limbo? Yeah,
limbo.
Yeah, the two national political parties are at crucial turning points. Republicans are the most encouraged. Party officials around the country, convinced that this may be their moment, are raising the prospect of an era of Republican dominance. And they got the money. This is about fundraising here over on the west side of Michigan.
Well, now, that's not very comforting.
No. Now, one of the ways that they're going to be able to do this is control of the medium.
Happening.
Yeah, because the majority of the Federal Communications Commission intends to ratify a sweeping plan to weaken or eliminate rules that eliminate the size and power of media companies. And among other things, the FCC's three Republican commissioners hope to revoke the newspaper broadcast cross-ownership rule, which prevents a company from owning a newspaper and a TV station in the same market. And what that's going to mean is Clear Channel, which now owns 13 radio stations, can also...
13 radio stations?
1,300. Thank you.
Thank you.
What would I do without you? I mean, like, for real. So this means that this is the creation of American Pravda, the misnamed Russian newspaper, the party line paper.
That's right.
Which meant truth.
And it was one voice.
Yeah, of course, it was the absolute opposite. Yeah. Now, what we're looking at here is, of course, Clear Channel that all of this begins to make a lot more sense when you see why did Clear Channel, for instance, support all these pro-war rallies. Well, one, they're hardcore Republicans. The CEO of Clear Channel is a pal of George W. Bush's. And also, they wanted to make sure that they were being loyal corporate citizens of the empire and supporting this imperial adventure, even though it was illegal and unnecessary, because there are no weapons of mass destruction.
But,
and in the sense that it is a racket. I mean, the economic system, the political system is a full-blown racket. But I don't even know if what I'm going to say is exactly as the racket. This is the portion of the racket where the fix is always in. Everything is done by influence.
Yeah.
So I think all of you know this, or most of you know this, that the son of Colin Powell, Michael Powell, heads the Federal Communications Commission that is going to pass rules, making it easier for Republican-dominated media giants to control what information we all get.
Now, may I say that we've heard these rumors and little things have been popping around about Clear Channel putting a left-of-center voice, putting left-of-center voices. I've been doing a little investigating.
Okay.
And that's not just a rumor. I mean, think about it. They are not stupid, really, by saying that. I mean, they're not stupid, obviously. But by putting this out and actually maybe doing this, Peter, left-of-center voices, why wouldn't they? They know that there is a huge population out there that's underserved. So, hey, they may be swallowing some of it up, too.
Well, that's one of the values of the, one of the many values of our network, the IE America Radio Network, because I tell you, Clear Channel is not going to, I mean, we have a job and we work for a network, but if, you know, they're not going to put on Peter Werby. They're not going to put on Mike Malloy. They're not going to put on Nancy Skinner. They're not going to put on Tom Hartman. They want some lap liberal or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We'll see, won't we?
And it ain't going to, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to work. They're going to say, see, we tried. Here's Mickey listening in New Mexico, probably to KTRC. Hi, Mickey. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you today?
Good.
Say, I don't know whether you're just talking about what I was going to call you about. I wanted to know if the FCC goes with their proposition to go ahead and let these corporations buy up all the TV, radio, and newspapers, how are we going to get people like you on the air?
Well, hopefully, well, you listen to KTRC, right?
Yeah, I do all the time.
Yeah.
I like everything. You know, I've listened to, what's his name, the Ditto Head, and all these Ditto Heads that call in, they make me sick because having been in government, and I listen to what he's saying, it's such a farce. And when you all come up with, you and Hartman and Malloy come out with things, I know that they're factual because I can see that they are.
Well, I was going to say it makes sense, whereas these right-wing talk show hosts and their mindless followers, they're in a polemic against reality. And one of the reasons the popularity, although it's not great popularity, you have to remember, Mickey, that that none of these right-wing talk show hosts get real great ratings in any of the markets that they're in. They simply are in hundreds and hundreds of markets because they, you know, they get this boost up. And when you total even low ratings in on that many markets, man, you get a lot of people listening. Thank you, Mickey. Thanks for listening to 1-800-TALK-YES and KTRC. We'll be right back. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now, 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now, 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You have to admire the compassionate conservatism of the only president we presently have. George W. has looked around the country, surveyed the growing economic woes of our people, and reached this compassionate conclusion. The rich are hurting. Feeling their pain, George has responded with a $400 billion tax giveback for these privileged ones, eliminating the taxes that they pay on their stock profits. But this is not merely a matter of compassion, says George. It's a matter of justice. The assertion by Bush is that taxing the stock dividends of big investors is nothing less than the horror of double taxation. After all, claim the Bushites, corporations already pay taxes on these profits, so the 10% of Americans who own 90% of all corporate stock shouldn't pay again when the profits are distributed to them. George, who likes things simple, says simply, it's not fair to tax something twice. Yoo-hoo, George! We know you've never worked for a living, but have none of your hotshot corporate economists mentioned to you that working people have their income taxed not just twice, but multiple times? Check it out. Our monthly wages are hit for federal and state income taxes, Social Security tax, unemployment, and Medicare taxes. Then, these same wages are slapped with ever-rising sales taxes, gasoline tax, property taxes, highway and subway tolls, numerous fees, and if we buy a six-pack to try forgetting taxes, we're hit with a liquor tax. This is Jim Hightower saying, if Bush really gave a damn about fairness, he wouldn't be singling out a handful of rich elites for more favoritism. He'd focus instead on restoring some progressive balance to a skewed tax system that grossly favors the rich and global corporations at the expense of America's wage-earning majority. To get the truth about who's paying what and about how Bush's policies are ripping off the middle class, call Citizens for Tax Justice, 202-626-3780.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. And here's Jalene Jordan as well. And, man, we're getting tons of email, Jalene.
Oh, yes. Good. Yeah, Burning it up.
Yeah. Let's see. Richard writes in, we were talking about listener Bill, who wrote in talking about this $10 an hour guy who is a Republican. And Richard writes in to call talkyes at yahoo.com regarding Bill's low-income Republican neighbor. I think it's likely that he not only suffers from the delusion you are discussing, but probably also has negative views towards women, gays, and the environment that he finds echoed in Republican rhetoric. I think that's true. I think that's where these guys, and generally guys, sometimes women, find refuge. Maybe I'm a, quote, failure, you know, because of the way this economic system is structured, but at least I can hate, you know, fill in the blanks. The Republicans are a party of hate. It's a party of bitterness, a party of resentment, other than the people that are really running the racket, the ultra-rich, I mean, which the Republican Party is. For some people, hate is a more powerful motivation than their own economic self-interest. I think that's true, eh?
Yeah, definitely true.
Here's Craig in New Mexico. Craig, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Thanks for listening to KTRC, and welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks a lot, Peter. You know, along those lines, I was thinking over the weekend what a misnomer conservatives are. What is it that they're conserving? It's certainly not constitutional rights or the budget or natural resources or the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they find another thing to call themselves?
Well, I don't even know what it means, conservatives. I mean, they've been against everything. That's generally when we talk about that. I start, and I won't go through the whole litany this time, but we start off with the United States before it was a nation. The colonies, the conservatives, opposed the revolution, right?
Right.
That they want to conserve our colonial status. They want to conserve, here I go, they want to conserve slavery. They want to conserve male-only vote. They wanted to conserve non-union labor. They wanted to conserve war. They wanted to conserve segregation and on and on. There's not a progressive or human, pro-human, pro-family idea that has come out of the conservative movement.
Mostly what they want to conserve is what they've already got.
The wealthy, and the only thing I can't figure out, and that's what, kind of what we're talking about, are these lunkheads who have nothing to gain whatsoever from this party that represents the ultra-rich, the powerful, and the corporations. And it is, I think, maybe just these little pipsqueaks, even though sometimes they're big, tough guys, but essentially they're little pipsqueaks that are holding on to the tail of like when you wear a tuxedo with tails like that. You know.
Just want to join the gang.
They do. Thank you, Craig.
I have one more item.
Go ahead.
Just as a barometer as to the popularity of our recent incursion, has anyone looked into what recruitment numbers are doing? Are they rising or falling for the military?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a barometer of the true popularity of the war?
Well, I wonder how it's perceived in many ways. If it feels like a risk-free adventure, in fact, they say that there's only 140 Americans killed. That means hundreds and hundreds of young men and women with awful wounds, many of which they'll never recover from fully. That's one thing. But one of the things, I mean, what we have in this country is a poverty draft, like Jessica Lynch, the woman
who just wanted to go to school.
Just wanted to go to school to be a teacher, I mean, who actually wasn't rescued. That was another one of these fraudulent Bush regime pieces of fairy tale. But she didn't, her idea wasn't to fight and get captured in Iraq. Her family didn't have enough money to provide what should be us as a matter of a citizen's right here in the wealthiest country in the world. So we get cannon fodder for the Imperial Wars. Did someone make a rude noise?
Not only that, but you have to join the army and kill people to go to school to be a teacher. But you can go to school for free if you can stuff a basketball through a hoop.
There you go.
That's perverse.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks for the show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Russ in Santa Cruz writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I got to hear Dennis Kucinich, the Democratic presidential contender, Sunday night, along with Marianne Williamson, who's from Detroit, the Church of Today.
I used to watch her on TV.
John Robbins, who wrote...
that would be the Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, Diet for a New America.
Vegan, yeah.
Yeah. It was very refreshing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You guys need to get Marianne Williamson and John Robbins on your show. All right. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about the Yippies. Wow. They're still around, folks, and they're out for Republicans.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
An invading insect threatens several types of ash trees in North America. The scale of the problem could match that of Dutch elm disease. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Ash trees are common throughout most of eastern North America. In cities, they're popular shade trees. In eastern woodlands, they stand out as some of the first to change color in the fall. A small green beetle called the emerald ash borer has put their future in question. The beetle was discovered just last year in southeastern Michigan. Since then, it's killed or damaged millions of trees in parts of Michigan and across the border in Windsor, Ontario.
Sarah Linsmeyer-Werfel works for the Michigan Department of Agriculture. She says the emerald ash borer is a small, thin insect with a metallic green back. It's native to Asia, and it probably traveled to North America in wooden packing crates made out of ash. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the people who worked with the crates might have missed it because in its larval stage, it's extremely small and blends in with the wood. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the beetle is known to attack green, white, and black ash trees. The beetle bores into healthy trees to lay its eggs, and within a few years, the trees are dead. She says trees often don't show signs of infestation until they're well on their way to decline.
The infestation of emerald ash borer is basically, it's very difficult to detect until the canopy of the tree where the top is starts to thin and die back.
The top third of a tree usually dies back within the first year. The remainder dies the following year. Linsmeyer-Werfel says state and federal agencies in the U.S. are working hard to contain the spread of the emerald ash borer. A quarantine now prohibits taking firewood or ashwood products out of counties that are infested by the beetles. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. Very soon now, we'll begin to hear politicians, military leaders, and media pundits demanding we support our troops once this war begins. However, we must remember...
Whoa, what is this? Where did this come from? Mike Malloy with his wonderful statement that somehow just came out of nowhere. Before we get to our guests, I just read this email from Christopher. It says, the Clear Channel media consolidation issue is a real problem, but I understand... But I'd like you to understand that you're incessantly speaking about it. Not a day goes by without our extensive coverage on the subject by you, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, and Nancy Skinner. Well, Chris, thanks for listening so much. It's beginning to sound very self-serving, considering the interest you have in getting more publicity for your shows. And actually, it's a much longer piece that he sends that I can't really go into. Well, you know what? It's difficult to say, Christopher. I mean, this is not self-serving. I don't want to live in a world where we're dominated by the voice of the medium, the single voice of power, this unitary message. And, you know, usually I don't care what you say about me or critically, or and sometimes I'll even, look. I mean, I'm looking at this. No, it's not self-serving at all. We are going to have a much, much different America, which is exactly what the right wing intends. And one of the ways they got to overcome people's in almost instinctive resistance to this right wing agenda is to control the media, to make it a medium. They're about 80% there already. It's little pipsqueak voices. I was calling people pipsqueaks before. Well, this is a pipsqueak voice as well, the IE America Radio Network, when you compare it to Clear Channel. And this is what it's going to be. I mean, just think of that name, Clear Channel. Pretty soon it's going to be one. They're going to own everything, and they're going to have one voice. It's the voice of the government. Let's welcome Dana Beal. Dana Beal is one of the original Yippies, and he's the curator of the Yippie Museum in New York City. He's also co-founder of Cures Not Wars and the Million Marijuana March. Dana Beal and I last met in Detroit in 1980, and that was when the Republicans made the mistake of having their convention for president here at that time. Dana Beal, welcome back in a sense.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. And I see you guys made it into the New York Times talking about the building that you're inhabiting that you want
to... Well, that was the part they wanted to cover. Of course, you know, talking about media monopolies, the New York Times left out some very... animals that we didn't, you know, both myself and Patrick Krupa, who were subjects of the, insisted, you know, they had to put stuff in about ibogaine to balance the marijuana stuff, and they didn't. And they don't really have a good explanation except that, you know, they say they would have to put too much of an explanation as to what ibogaine is in the story, and there was no room for that. But, you know, if you never mention that something exists, you know, it's kind of like censoring the fact that it exists.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you the process, Dana, because I start thinking, well, gee, now are we going to have to explain this all out? Yeah, so rather than it being something that's an issue for public debate, it becomes, obscure. And
therefore, because it's obscure, it never becomes part of the public debate. But one of the biggest debates in the country right now, and this goes back to the formation of the Yippies with Abby Hoffman, the third demand, right? Of the Yippie program in 1968 was legalization of marijuana and decriminalization of narcotics and legalization of psychedelics, right?
Sure, that was it.
And that's always been, core value of the Yippies, and now there's a whole huge movement all over the world to change the laws, but the conventional wisdom, the myth that's put out by the Bush administration, and for that matter, was put out by the government under Clinton, is that we need these laws because there's no real good answer to addiction.
Right.
Right. Now, what if there was an illegal drug that would, in a single dose, get people off of heroin, cocaine, alcohol, and cigarettes, and methamphetamine, methadone?
They'd keep it suppressed.
Well, they didn't mention it in the New York Times. It kind of looks like it's suppressed.
Now, remind us the name again, and maybe you can...
The name of the drug is called ibogaine. It's...
Spell it for us.
Ibogaine. It's from the African rainforest.
Yeah.
And we have a guy right in Detroit, a guy named Dimitri, who's a local activist, who's trying to get through to John Conyers. But one of the problems is getting critical mass up. You know, he feels he has to take a bunch of people over to Canada where it's legal and treat them before he can, have enough to go on.
Now this,
the science has been done. We know this stuff works.
Now, you can go actually on the Internet. I have seen, now that I think of it, stuff, and I know a lot of material about this, and I know you, Dana Beal, and others have been promoting this as an antidote to addiction.
Well, I wrote the book. It's called The Ibogaine Story.
Okay, and it's Ibogaine. People can check that out on the Internet. Now, but ibogaine is illegal in the United States?
This is the only place where it's illegal. It's legal in Canada and Mexico.
Well, you know that the Canadian government just overrode all these objections from the United States and they're introducing legislation which will end criminal penalties for the possession of
small amounts
of marijuana.
But it'll increase the penalties for growing the stuff. Right now they have very low penalties for growing pot in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really do make it 14 years, that'll change things a lot.
Wow.
And as someone pointed out in the Canadian press, this is the worst of all possible worlds. You increase demand, right?
Sure.
Well, by making it decrim, but then you... make it much, much more risky to produce, thereby, contributing to criminal markets. And it's not really a solution. We need legalization. We need to separate marijuana from hard drugs on the Dutch model so you can actually get it, right? Because, it's not a miracle. The ounce doesn't just appear, the decriminalized ounce doesn't just appear. It has to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think I should do a little justice to the subject that you called me up about,
which is the
Yippie Museum and the building and that stuff. And I can tell you that we've been in this place for 30 years.
Right.
We have a little kind of a three-story building right by the Bowery. This is where the Yipster Times and then Overthrow after that came out. Now we do a lot of stuff on the Internet. Of course, the Internet makes it possible to, publish it like a weekly newspaper without having to, get ads and stuff. You just send it out as big email file.
Or pay the print bill.
And the people, if they want to print it out, it's on their printer.
Well, now, Dana Beal, the Yippies are back, and not just a relic. And I see you've got, like, for instance, a Yippie Speakers Bureau. Includes everybody from Paul Krasner, the humorist, who's been on the show before, Grace Slick, the original singer with Jefferson Airplane, even a state Supreme Court justice in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He's a, and
he became famous for handing out condoms from the bench.
Really?
Yeah, because he, you know, he did a lot of stuff about AIDS. You know, that's one of the things that the theory, one of the currents, right, that runs through this is a lot of people in the Yippie Speakers Bureau had something to do with the AIDS crisis.
Okay.
Dennis Perrone lost his best friend to AIDS and went on to, you know, make marijuana legal for medical purposes in California with Proposition 215. And he's on the Speakers Bureau. He became a Yippie in the 70s.
Tell us about Grace Slick.
Grace Slick, you know, this was Michael Foreman's idea. I didn't realize the extent to which she had been with them in the period before and during the conspiracy trial.
In Chicago, I mean.
Yeah, but I was elsewhere. You remember, yeah. I was underground then.
You were?
Yeah, I didn't come back until 1972. I got out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
I went straight to the Republican and Democratic Convention in Miami.
Which was not as big a brouhaha as Chicago, but close.
It was actually bigger and more more tumultuous than Detroit. You know, we continued to try to do convention protests
Now,
of course, Stu Albert has issued a call to come to New York. He says the Yippies should reassemble themselves and, I guess, figure out some really great practical jokes to play on the Republicans here.
Now, you were
nothing too illegal, nothing that would upset the Department of Homeland Security.
Right, but Dana Beal, you actually, in retrospect, looking, say, at 1968, when there were some of these major pranks that were played by people like Abbie Hoffman and Jerry Rubin, where you say in this article in the New York Times that a lot of these gags would now be considered terrorism.
Well, that's the thing. You got to stay ahead of them. You got to figure out stuff they haven't made illegal yet.
Well, like putting.
But that's a challenge, you know.
So no threats of putting LSD in the water this time.
No, no, you can't put LSD in the water supply. Everybody knows that chlorine destroys it.
So that was just that was really a prank. That was a yipster prank.
Yeah, it was
prank.
Just really a prank. That was all it was.
And what was one of the other things you mentioned in the article that said you couldn't get away with now? I can't remember.
Pying.
The what?
You can't get away with throwing pies at people.
Oh yeah.
You know, they used to. We had a big wave of pies in the 70s.
That's right.
And then they crack down. You can't pie.
Your friend, the Pie Man.
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, Aaron Kay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no pies, no LSD, and you could still have a greased pig. You nominated Pegasus the Pig for president in 1968 at the Democratic
Convention. Yeah, well, they're bringing back Pegasus for 2004 because he's even more of an average Joe pig than George Bush.
That's good. But tell me a little about the Speakers Bureau and Grace Slick, Paul Krasner.
Well, we have Stewie Albert. We have a guy named Daruva Ben-Wahad from the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panthers were, you know, kind of connected up to the Yippies there. We have a guy named Papper Krupa who's really interested. Really interesting, rather. He, you know, the old thing, the old saw, he started the internet.
Yeah.
This is a guy who used to come to the Yipple, the Youth International Party line, which was like phone freaking.
Uh-huh.
And it became TAP, the Technological American Party or Project, right? And
these are the people, let me remind people.
He was like, you know, 12 and 14.
But wait.
He met Aaron Kay and the older Yippies, right?
Yeah.
And he went on to start something called the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
And they all got busted by the government for hacking.
Let's remind people, though.
And the Electronic Freedom Foundation was started out of that to, like, you know, protect them.
Dana, hold on. Let's remind people that what we were talking about initially, if my memory serves me right, is that in order to make long-distance calls 30 years ago, you had to have these codes, and people would hack into these systems, and they would get the phone codes from big corporations and torture states that the United States was supporting.
Well, it actually is more like it started. They had something called the Blue Box.
Oh, yeah, actually a box.
Which would seize the 800 line. It would seize the information line and use it to make personal calls. And the people who were making those one day said, well, we could make computers. And they started Apple Computer.
So you weren't
you guys used to make blue boxes.
So you weren't kidding about them being the people that started the internet.
Well, anyway, this guy Krupa had the first server ISP internet service provider in New York City called Mindvox, and he got really strung out on heroin and lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But he got it back with Ibogaine.
Ibogaine. We're back to Ibogaine, which is the African, is it herb or plant?
The African rainforest substance.
That you contend that you take it one time and your addiction is gone?
Well, he had to take it a couple of times. You know, the thing is, one time will detox you, and it'll work for a while. If you really, really want to make sure, it's probably a good idea to do it again. But the important thing is it's not a methadone. You know, like with methadone, take the methadone wears off, you're sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Ibogaine, it's the first thing that when the drug effect wears off, you're free both of the physical addiction and the psychological craving. And this is such a big thing, you know, number one, because as we know from medical marijuana, they say if it's an illegal drug, it couldn't possibly be good for anything, okay? Ibogaine was made Schedule I in the LSD panic because it was on a list of drugs that, you know, obscure, you know, cultures around the world use religiously.
Okay.
Right?
Do you get high on it?
It causes a dreamlike state, but so does melatonin.
Yeah.
Which it resembles, actually. The molecule resembles a melatonin.
Stuff
molecule.
That you can use to go to sleep with.
Right. Yeah. And the thing about Ibogaine is it's got a side chain that keeps you awake, but it puts you actually into a dreamlike state. So it's a lot like sleep paralysis or lucid dreaming. It's not really a hallucinatory because you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in a dream, you're not. In other words, you're sitting on the couch, right, on LSD, right? Oh, you're seeing some paisleys, you're seeing some colors, you know, the walls are breathing. But you're still sitting on the couch in your real body. I mean, you can look at your hands look a little different, you know, but nothing has really changed. You're awake.
Okay.
In a dream, you have a virtual body, right, that you see, you experience go through a number of scenarios, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your body is in the dream. You understand what I'm saying?
Spooky, man. Go ahead.
And that's kind of what Iboga is like. You have access to all your past memories. You go through your whole life. You see a lot of the reasons why you became addicted.
Hmm. This is Ibogaine, Ibogaine. We just got a minute left. What do you want to leave us with? I know you're trying to raise money to make your...
Well, the best thing people could do if you know, they hear this and they're connected with a student government and they can get it at speakers, they should, you know, book us.
Okay.
They can get me, and they can get Grace Slick, you know, depending on who they want. And I'll tell you what, I'll just give you the number for Cures Not Wars, because I don't happen to have the Yippie brochure in front of me.
Okay.
But you can call us at
212-677-777-7180. Okay. Is there a website as well?
Yes. Okay. www.cures-not-wars.org. And those are not underscores or double hyphens. They're not dashes. They're just hyphens. It's like, you know, Cures Not Wars.
Yeah. Well, Dana Beale, thanks for sharing your time with us, and I hope we've at least introduced some of this information to the listening audience. Thanks so much.
Okay. I'll check back with us as we,
we definitely will.
Get into the political season.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so
here.
Much, Dana Beale, one of the original founders of the Yippies. That was the Youth International Party. And although I'm not sure they would qualify as youth any longer, Paul Krasner, who is now 70 years old, he founded the newspaper The Realist, which I believe is still available online. He said, this is the anti-war equivalent of a veterans group. I like that. And he says, we don't get good health care either, you know, as opposed to the real veterans. He said, it's strange to be 70 and still identify with a youth movement, but I'd rather identify with evolution than stagnation. Indeed. All right, thank you very much. Come on back. We've got one final segment. Jalene Jordan will be with me, and I've got the rest of the week off. Hey, one day on, 4 days off. It's good in America. Be right back. Peter Werbe with you.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building,
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off at the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werbe reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werbe, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace.
Hi.
Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors. You're listening to The Peter Werby Show.
1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Welcome back, Jalene Jordan. Well, I got about another 3 minutes on this broadcast, Jalene, and then it's you for the next 3 days.
It is, Peter.
That's a dirty job.
You wear me. I get worn out every time you leave, but I have a good time doing it.
I know. I get to hear you once in a while. I never tell you, but I'm listening, and you sound great.
I know you listen, and I wish you just don't listen for a few days.
I won't. I won't listen until Friday. I promise. When I'm driving back in the car. Well, I'll listen on Sirius Left, Sirius Satellite Radio.
Oh, you're driving in a car that has Sirius, right?
I don't know. I'm only kidding. I hope they do. Here's Sean in Indianapolis. I can't even say it. Indianapolis. Hi, Sean. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Hey, hello, Peter. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
Unfortunately, the only way I can talk to you over, I can listen to you guys is over the internet.
Yeah.
And because there's no affiliate here in Indianapolis that I know of. It's all pretty much right wing.
It is.
I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about what the future is of net radio, too, because the same people that are going after, the same people that are wanting to monopolize the media, the corporate media, are the same people that are wanting to put down internet radio. And internet radio right now is in its infancy, and I think it would be really important if somebody did a show on it, because it really is great. There's about 20,000 radio stations out there, and just in the last year, a lot of them have been forced to be dropped out on
mm-hmm.
net radio, and forced to go on.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, actually, we have, sorry, I can't treat this right now because we got to go. The show is all but over. But, who knows where we're going to wind up, when there's this complete monopolization, thanks to the Federal Communications Commission, because it's a whole rigged deal. They're giving it away to the corporate giants that are in league with and in bed with Bush. We'll do more on this. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of radio out there. There's a radiopower.org, which also simulcasts this show. People, if you're ever having trouble hearing this on the internet, you can just go to radiopower.org. Sean, thanks for joining me. Remember, Jalene, someone was asking a little earlier about whether or not recruitment was up or down?
Yes.
Apparently, according to Marcia, she says, ta-da, the New York Times covered current attitudes towards the military today. And more patriotism, but no spike in recruits. Wow, why? I mean, you just watch these wars from the comfort of your living room.
Yeah, and you don't want to go die? Oh,
yeah.
Gee.
Well, all right, people, thank you very much. For those of you I'm going to see in Nashville, that will be Thursday night in a secret location. Jalene Jordan, you have fun on the air. Take care of all the people that are listening across America.
All of your great guests.
All right. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk next Monday.
Listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Iran's opposition in exile claims Tehran has 2 more nuclear sites and additional research facilities with limited capabilities. The National Council of Resistance of Iran says they were informed of the sites about 25 miles west of Tehran through high-placed individuals in the country. Officials say these are the same people who uncovered the existence of the Natanz facility, which is believed to be part of a nuclear weapons program. President Bush has dubbed Iran as one of the axis of evil countries. Iran claims its nuclear facilities only produce electricity. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld today drew analogies between problems plaguing the newly freed Iraq and the U.S. shortly after the War for Independence. He told the Council on Foreign Relations that many of the problems facing Iraq today are the historians' descriptions of the conditions America faced after being liberated.
Looting, crime, mobs storming buildings, breakdown of government structures and institutions, regional tensions between the North and the South. If these problems sound familiar, they should. They are the historians' descriptions of the conditions here in